You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Someone help Mr. Green with his headphones, please.
No, I got the headphones.
Is it
the
chair? Chair. Have trouble with the chair?
Broken. Yeah. Oh, is it?
This chair has...
Thanks for the broken chair, guys.
Nice to see
the budget hasn't increased with the quality of the show. No, I got it.
Kathy Griffin didn't complain about it. I guess she's a little bit more professional, maybe, perhaps, than our current guest.
She might have more length in her calves than I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Seth Green on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always a pleasure to see Seth. We were just filling him in on what he missed on the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend. Sorry you weren't there. You would have had a good time.
I like a lot of
those
bands.
But you have a hot
bands.
Wife, so you're really better off staying home. I get you.
It's true. Sometimes a good cuddle on the sofa beats a concert.
I got you. So you're the busiest man in show business.
That's what they say, yes.
Are you nominated for something right now? Did I just read you were nominated for something else?
The Animation Awards just got announced.
That's
it's
what
like
it was,
the,
yeah.
the most prestigious thing in animation next to the Emmys or the
so
Oscars.
Cool. Yeah.
Every time you're on talking about something Robot Chicken related, I always laugh when I think the impression I get is, hey, this would be fun for me and my friends. It's a fluke that it became a huge hit and
it's
now
insane.
Is completely like established. I mean, like everybody loves it now. It's big hit.
We had an intern come in and say that he grew up watching the show.
Oh, my God. The first time that happened, you must go, what?
Well, it was kind of a through the looking glass moment because I said, this is our fifth season.
Right.
Our fifth season hasn't even aired yet. So I tried to count the amount of years that it was, but he was 19 and it made sense. Like,
he discovered it.
From 14 to 19, he watched this show.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's
you're welcome,
weird.
Parents.
No kidding. You have, what a Rolodex for Robot Chicken. It seems like there's no one you can't get.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of people we can't get, but what we do have is a great batting average of people who come in and have fun with us. People that we like, who we think are really creative and inventive, want to come in and apply that to our show. And we usually give them a good opportunity to be silly and play parts they couldn't possibly physically play.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that, was it because of Robot Chicken, is that how you actually became buds with George Lucas?
Probably. I met him a couple times going to MTV sponsored screenings at Skywalker Ranch of the prequel movies and met him there, but was so enamored by him the way that people are, I couldn't have a legitimate conversation with him, and then had an opportunity to do an interview with him and tried to be normal. Just tried to not act like a crazy person for the first time. And
that's got to be difficult when you're sitting across from him.
Well, you get to a point where you have to, as a human being, acknowledge another human being.
Right.
And because I've been recognized for the last 10 years straight, I can relate to him on that level of, oh, people stare at you and yell your name like John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt every time you go out. So we could at least find a point of interaction on that. And then when he liked our show, and we reached out to him about coming and doing a silly part in it, and he was open to that, and then we had a really fun experience doing that. So it just sort of grew from there.
The next thing you know, he's at your wedding.
Next thing you know, he's at my wedding.
Which still blows me away.
Blows me away, too. Like, I look out at the sea of all our friends and family waiting for my wife to walk down the aisle, and then there's George, and he just looks at me like, hey, what's up?
Now, when you did the first Robot Chicken Star Wars special, you obviously went to him for his blessing, his approval, his permission, I imagine, right?
Not him specifically, but the company at large. And ultimately, he had to sign off on anything, but it was up to them to make the decision to go forward with
it. And
then
you made another one, and now you're back with a third one.
Yeah. This is a different thing, though. The other ones were more sketch-based and just sort of funny ideas that we all linked together. And then the second one, we took a stab at telling a little bit of a linear story following the bounty hunters, where they were from, how they got that job. Did they have agents? Is there a league or a union? What kind of traps did they set for Han Solo? Were they mad when Boba Fett got him? Like, those kind of stories were really interesting.
Hey, what was Boba Fett doing before he was a bounty hunter?
Well, according to the lore, he was a kid whose dad was the... genetic DNA stamp for all of the clones, which became the stormtroopers.
Wow.
Wow.
That's heavy duty.
Who knew? Heavy duty. And if you watch the Clone Wars cartoon, they actually delve into what he did sort of in those unknown years where he was a little kid after his father died and before he became, the big
Boba Fett, the missing years.
Yeah. But this special is a linear story from start to finish. And so even though it's sketch-based and we jump all around the Star Wars canon, we tell the story of all six Star Wars movies, start to finish, through the eyes of a couple of key characters.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it. I can't wait for people to see
it. Which ones are the characters this year? It's this Sunday, right?
It is this Sunday, yeah. It is the Emperor, and you follow him from before he got into politics.
That's Seth MacFarlane.
To after he got thrown down the chasm, yes.
Yeah, love MacFarlane. That.
Me too. And then,
so this is the Emperor as a young man?
It's all the way through the stories. We start before the Phantom Menace, and we go till after Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did the Emperor's face get messed up?
He was actually blasted by Force Lightning in Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
Fighting Mace Windu, yeah. Anakin was attempting to turn to the dark side and was struggling over it, and the Emperor was like, "Oh, Anakin, help me!" And Mace Windu was like, "You have to pay for your crimes!" And Force Lightning off his lightsaber, hit him all in the face.
Okay.
And he'll never have a date again. We actually touch on that in the special.
Never have a date again.
Well, he gives Anakin a hard time. He's like, Why did you not help me when my face was being ruined? And he's like, I'm struggling with that dark side question. I mean, am I good? Am I bad? I killed those sand people, but maybe I still love my wife. Wow, your face is messed up.
Tell us who plays Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, tell us. So, Seth, say it. Say it.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's in love. That's why.
Well, we're all charmed. Zac Efron plays Anakin Skywalker.
I love him so much. My sweet Zac.
You know, I actually agree with you. Zac Efron is immeasurably talented and really handsome.
That's not
what
he's saying.
Look at what he's trying to do in his career. It's akin to what Johnny Depp tried to do at his age, what Brad Pitt tried to do at his age.
Yeah.
The types of movies that he's making, how he's representing himself. And I think he's got a shot at it.
I do, too. He definitely is more than just the kid from the Disney movie. There's no question about that. I really want to see him naked. And I want to wrestle him naked.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying.
Also that.
That's what I'm saying is you respect the career.
Well, but Mike's given me the eye like, wow, how could he even say that in front of us?
Like
I've heard some of the things you say at a 30 Seconds concert.
That's right. It's a very similar man crush.
And when it's time for me to have my gay time, it's with a real man.
Oh, Jared Leto's a real man and my Zac is a boy?
Not a flimsy boy.
Now, the fact that you call him my Zac is really sweet.
How was he to work with in terms of being a voice actor? Because that's a different set of skills.
No, he's really great. He's like shockingly talented.
Did he take a shirt off?
Wow,
no,
what's happening?
There was no occasion.
He didn't take his shirt off?
But you can go see Charlie St. Cloud if you want to see him take his shirt off.
Own it.
I like
slow-mo.
Here's what happened. Seth started bonding with Bean over that and then has just quickly gone the opposite direction.
Well, Donald Faison is also in this special.
I love him.
And, does he take his shirt off?
All the time, yes. And Breckin Meyer plays Boba Fett, and he takes most of his clothes off all the time.
It's a hilarious cast, by the way. Rachel Lee Cook plays Padme.
Yeah.
Mike Henry from The Cleveland Show.
Yay, Mike Henry.
By the way, last night was your Family Guy Christmas special, and then the... Right?
Oh, the Robot Chicken Christmas special was on last night. Yeah. Was the Family Guy Christmas special
I think the Family Guy Christmas special was on last night,
too. We gotta stop counter-programming
Why do you
other.
Do that?
I don't know.
You got too much on TV, Seth.
It's
That's
true.
What's going on here.
It's true. I need my own network.
I have heard that Robot Chicken Star Wars is on this coming.
Right.
It's December
19th. Their Christmas show was last night.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 3 with Seth Green on the Robot Chicken is going to be Adult Swim Cartoon Network this Sunday night. More with our guest Seth Green when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Seth Green in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Robot Chicken Star Wars Episode 3, which he claims is the final Star Wars parody of Robot Chicken.
I hope it's not.
Is going to be airing this Sunday night at 11:30 on the Adult Swim Cartoon Network. By
it's
the
a lot
way,
of work, guys. A lot of work.
Of course.
Sure it is. But I don't care. I just see the final product. So I'd like you to keep doing all that work. If you don't mind.
Seth just said something amazing to me as the song ended there, which is that you barely use the internet?
No, that's not true. I don't use the internet for the things that people typically use it for.
Porn.
No. People do like massive video searches and a lot of social networking. And
right.
I
you don't do
really,
any of that.
Not really. I do a lot of basic email for my job. And
you don't use iTunes?
I don't have an iTunes.
Now, that
account.
Surprised me because I know what a huge music fan you are.
I am a huge music fan, but
you
I
steal it all from somewhere?
No, I don't. Yeah. I actually still really enjoy the tactile experience of opening.
That means touch,
CD.
Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know what tactile
is. I like the liner notes. I like to read it in my private time and not like scroll through it or print it out.
I am 100% with you on that, and I buy more
like
records
see
than anyone I know.
But the graphic is on the disc. I just like that whole experience.
But we're at the point now where there's a lot of stuff that comes out that is physically does not exist.
It's true, and I'll download that stuff.
Right.
Through my wife's account.
There you go.
It's got a loophole.
You are, as we mentioned, the hardest working man in show business. You've got like 20 jobs.
Now that James Brown is gone, yes.
Yes.
He handed me the crown on his deathbed.
Are you
take good care of this.
Are you about done? Is it almost vacation time for Mr. Seth Green?
We're pretty close, actually. I mean, the show, the fifth season of the show will work through March, mixing the post on it, but I'm actually going to take a honeymoon in the beginning of the year. We haven't gotten to yet. It's been almost a year.
Gosh.
I know.
Wow.
But we're both really busy, so you sort of, and then you make it extra worth your while.
Is being married what you thought it would be, Seth?
I honestly, when I thought about marriage, I never thought it could be as awesome as this is. I never thought I would meet a girl that I liked so much, who I could spend so much time with, that I was so endlessly attracted to, who I actually was a supportive partner Instead of us being contentious or creating competitions to be better than each other. That comes later?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I'll wait for that. Maybe we'll get a bunch of good years.
It will go south. You know that. I mean, how many people do you know that are grown-ups that are not divorced?
You know what's amazing? Actually, my friend Brecken and his wife have been married for over 10 years, and they have two kids, and they are exceedingly
happily
married.
That's like 50 years in Hollywood.
There you go.
It is, and they're both actually successful in their jobs and really happy, so it's a good prototype. And not to name drop, but Al and Suzanne Yankovic, who have been married forever and ever.
I'm sorry, you talking about Weird Al?
I am, yeah. The two of them have been married forever and ever and have an awesome daughter and are just the coolest adults you
can imagine. Friends with Weird Al, too? Like, what kind of stuff do you and Al do?
Listen, let me just tell you what you're getting into here. Okay?
I love Al. I love Zac Efron.
One
completely
of Bean's
different.
Top three favorite celebrities ever.
Yeah.
Is Weird Al.
Is Weird
because
Al.
He's awesome.
He's worthy of that accolade. Yeah, he's a really amazing, super awesome guy.
So what do you do with Al?
We nerd out and have like normal conversations.
You go over to Al's house?
We did go to his house, yeah.
You sit on his couch and watch Al's TV?
I rode his Segway.
Oh!
How many people can say that?
I'm so firm right now. Oh,
wow.
Man.
I wish I hadn't heard that.
Why do you have to ruin everything?
Would you ever go on vacation with Al?
When we were on vacation last year, met up with them.
Oh, you're my hero.
I want to touch the hem of
your garment. And at some point, are you able to forget that he's one of your heroes and just he's my friend Al?
Yes. Yeah, because when you're hanging out with people, the same way I hang out with you guys. You guys aren't like world famous K-rock stars,
well,
Kevin and me.
Really
you guys
are.
Right, because we're really. All right, do you think somewhere in a parallel universe, Weird Al is having an interview right now where people are going, oh my God, you know Seth Green?
No.
You go to Seth Green's house? You're on vacation with Seth Green?
I really doubt.
What do you do with him? You sit on his couch and watch TV?
Yeah, he rode my Segway. No, I doubt that's happening.
That would be awesome if that happened, though.
That'd be pretty cool.
Hey, all right, we're almost out of time here, Seth, but. Because you're so busy, it doesn't seem like you get the opportunity to be live action Seth very often.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not like I've been turning things down. It's like the stuff that's really right for me, I jump in and do. And the stuff that I want to make, it's just a matter of sitting down and writing it. That's what we've been concentrating on this year, actually. My partner and I and friends that I work with that are writers. We've been concentrating on developing the stuff that we've been talking about for a while.
That way you don't have to be in Inception and crappy movies like that, right?
I don't get cast in those movies, quite frankly. If you look at a lot of the movies that came out throughout the year and say, oh, where was Seth Green's role in that? Everyone that was in those movies played those parts.
You could have been Timberlake and that in The Social Network. You could have been that guy.
But that was Justin's moment, so I'm not gonna take that from him. It's like I've got things that I'll do, and I appreciate you.
You're too big to be in movies. That's what you're telling me.
There is no way that's true.
No, but it is fascinating that to get sort of the exact right role, you have to write it for yourself.
Sometimes you do, and most of my biggest heroes have done exactly that. And we've got some really fun ideas that I'd like to make films of, and we just have to put them on paper.
I love that you've been in show business since you were a little kid, and you still seem to enjoy it. It still seems to be a passion of yours so much, which is great.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
this is my favorite thing to do.
If you,
I can't believe I get to do it for a living. It doesn't seem right.
If it all dried up for you and you were Leif Garrett all of a sudden or somebody like that,
oh God.
What would you do? What would the next
celebrity
what would the next phase be for your life if you weren't in show business?
How can I? Well, if I wasn't in show business, I'm sure I'd get into some kind of like toy design or toy manufacturing, something like that. Maybe even comic books, something like that was equally creative in storytelling, but not. I don't know. Leif Garrett had a series of incidents that led to where he got to, and a lot of those were based on choices. And I just try not to make those same choices.
Yeah. USA.
Come on.
USA. USA. Robot Chicken, Star Wars Episode 3.
Oh, I wanted to say, it's an hour long. Like, if you're everyone who says, why don't we make a longer Robot Chicken, this is a straight up
hour.
That
means you lose Kevin after the first four minutes.
Way.
You know what his attention span is like.
No, because Seth, that's what his specialty is, attention
keeping
span.
Your attention, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know how to keep you tied
4 seconds later, man, there's another scene. It moves.
Didn't like that? How about this guy?
Right. I love that.
It airs this Sunday night on the Adult Swim Cartoon Network, and I'm sure we'll be out on DVD before too long as well, because I tend to buy them and own them. So.
We're actually planning a pretty significant DVD for this.
Fantastic. Right. Seth, fantastic. Great to see you again, man.
Great to see you too.
Seriously.
Such a rare treat to see you in person.
Happy holidays to you.
I'm glad everybody's sobered up a little bit.
A little.
Sorry to miss the show.
We'll talk to you next year, buddy. Thanks for coming.
Right on, guys. Be well.
Hey, have a great honeymoon, too.
Thank you so much.
Here's what I'm saying. What's not to like? It's a sandwich in a can. That's a perfect item.
We found a new item called a canwich. And
not a joke. It's a true item.
Watch your ass, Lunchables. This begins because there's a new processed lunch in town, and it offers not only obstruction of bowels, but the dangerous sharp edges of a can. Literally, it's a candwich. It's a sandwich in a can.
Hmm.
So it stays fresh, and then you need it 10 years from now when there's an earthquake.
It's like a Twinkie, right? It's just good forever?
Well, like Ralph pointed out yesterday when he introduced us to the candwich, what's more convenient than a sandwich that you don't have to worry about squashing in your backpack or wherever you happen to be taking it? So
that is a good point.
We wanted to find out more about this revolutionary new product, the Canwich, and we have the inventor of the Canwich on the phone. He is Theodore Cord, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Can we call you Ted?
Yes, please do. Please call me Ted. Yeah. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I couldn't be happier. It's such a pleasure to be on your show, don't you know? Are you okay?
You caught me by surprise. You sound like someone I know. Well, listen, Mr. Cord.
Yes.
The Canwich is a fantastic
isn't it a great thing.
It is. Tell us how you came up with it, sir.
Well, I was on a picnic with my girlfriend, my gal pal, as I call her, and we were going on a picnic, and we had a lovely lunch all prepared, put in a big knapsack, don't you know? And so she sat down, and she went to lean back on the knapsack, and all our sandwiches were flattened. Flattened as flat as a pancake, which isn't bad if you're eating pancakes.
Right.
But this was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the peanut butter and the jelly was all over the inside of the wax paper, and you had to suck on the wax paper to get it off.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible mess. And I said, wait a minute, this could be a blessing or a curse. So I decided to take this inspiration and make the Canwich.
So it's a sandwich in a can. There's PB&J.
Yeah.
And there's also barbecue chicken
we
sandwiches.
We got two kinds of jam. Strawberry or grape, don't you know?
Okay. All right.
The barbecue chicken, which is just so popular with the kids.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's in a sturdy can.
Uh-huh.
And like the one I have here. And then you open it up. And now you've got a delicious salad. The Duke was ordered. Mm, so good.
He's eating right now, yeah.
No, it's good for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, anywhere you go that you're afraid you might crush your sandwich.
Forgive me for having this negative attitude, but my first reaction to this was, this is going to be a sucky sandwich.
No, it's delicious.
Because it's in a can.
No, you can your hunger. That's what we say at Canwich. Open up a can of whoopee.
Still working on those slogans,
yeah,
are you, Ted?
Still working on the slogans.
Now, where is the Canwich available?
Oh, almost anywhere.
We've seen it nowhere.
All right, well, we're still working on shipping it out there. Right. But soon they'll be almost everywhere.
Okay.
And now, this is so popular, we're expanding the line.
Oh, you are?
We've got another product coming out called Bottle Lunch.
Bottle Lunch.
Yes. which is an amazing lunch right from a bottle. Right. This is the first one releasing. It's spaghetti and meatballs in a bottle. Marinara sauce, don't you know?
Nobody wants to drink that.
Just pop it open and guzzle it down.
That doesn't sound. I don't think I'd want to try that one, good, actually.
Mamma mia, that's delicious spaghetti. Then we got veal roll-ups. For the veal lover on the go. You just pull out a yard or two of veal roll-up and just pop it in your mouth. It's pounded flat as paper, and then you just pop it in your mouth. It's all the delicious taste of a baby cow in a box, but it's in a roll.
Oh, I'm going to pass on that one if you don't mind, Tim.
And I hope you all try my tube steak.
Oh, your tube steak. Tube steak in a can?
I've heard that before.
No, not in a can. It's part of our tasty pasty line, where we take delicious foods and turn them into a finely ground paste and put them in a tube. And you squeeze it out like toothpaste.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, the tube steak is filet mignon beaten into a paste stuffed into a tube.
No.
Oh, that's a terrible visual. Please stop saying that. Please don't say that anymore.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were talking yesterday about St. Patrick's Day, and it went well for some people. Didn't go as well for others. A few people are in trouble. Okay, that happens.
Sure.
St. Patrick's Day. If people aren't in trouble on St. Patrick's Day, you're not doing it right.
What are the expectations?
That's my point.
The day dedicated to people getting stinky drunk. Oh, I'm sure everything will be fine, and no one will get into any trouble. What? Asses.
Right, and the people that are getting us in trouble know us. And
right.
We've done this 20 times before. What is it that they want? What do they want
from us? The definition of insanity is to repeat the same thing over and over again and expect a different outcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to happen the same next year as well.
Exactly.
That's just expect it. But we did, we had Beer Mug, who was supposed to be working here yesterday.
Well, that's the one thing. Most of us were able to show up to work the day after the St. Patrick's Day party. Most of us.
I think everyone did that was that wasn't. I mean, Alex didn't, but she was sick. It wasn't right. because of St. Patrick's Day, but
right.
everybody except for Beer Mug.
Yes.
Who we found out woke up in a bush.
Was sleeping in the bushes.
So, and he didn't know where exactly. So we're going to take your calls. You woke up somewhere after blacking out.
We want your blackout adventures. You were drinking, you blacked out. When you came to, hilarity ensued.
Yeah, we have done this before, and people are waking up in other people's homes that they have no idea who it is because they thought it was their house.
Yes.
They just
yes.
go in and get on the couch, and they get woken up by whoever is screaming, get out of my house!
Can you imagine?
Right. And then remember the one guy that called, and he started yelling at her, this is my house! It wasn't?
No.
But he was yelling at her? Awesome.
When I was in college, I was a drummer in a band that we had in college, and we would play the occasional party in the housing off campus. There were a lot of people who rented houses around the campus, and they would throw parties because they had their own homes there. So we were in the backyard playing a party at one of these houses, and I was behind the drum kit. And next to the kit, I had a bottle of mezcal, which is, you know, like tequila, only on steroids.
Okay.
It's got the worm in the bottle,
yes.
yeah, at the bottom, you know.
So tequila's not strong enough?
My goal was, while I was playing, was to play the whole set and take just pulls off this bottle of mezcal and to eat the worm at the end of it. That was my goal.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Because supposedly if you ate the worm, you saw visions.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I saw visions or not, but I woke up the next morning, the last half of us playing, by the way.
Sure, gone.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I was really on beat.
You were a good drummer that night, I'm sure.
I woke up the next morning at that house where we were playing. I had never left, apparently. On the roof of the house.
You woke up on the roof.
Yes. Nude. Wrapped in just a bed sheet, clutching my drumsticks to my chest. I still had my drumsticks with me. I was totally naked, and I woke up outside a window, a second floor window, on the roof of the building, naked, wrapped in a sheet. That's how I recovered from my blackout. I have no idea how I got there. I have no idea why I was naked, what happened between midway through the set that we were playing in that backyard to when I woke up that morning.
Could have rolled right off
easily.
That roof.
Could have just plummeted to my death off the roof.
You know, what he wouldn't have done? Let go of the drumsticks?
Yeah, that's
would have
true.
Held on to him.
Nothing, no clothes on whatsoever, except I had my drumsticks in my hand and I was wrapped by a sheet. And no one really can fill in the blanks for me to this day. I've been with friends like, what happened? Did you see me at any point? No. We lost track of you somewhere in the course of the evening and didn't see you till the next day.
I went to Las Vegas for a bachelor party.
I think I was abducted by UFO. That's
you
what
think
happened.
So?
That's what
yeah.
I think was happening.
Yeah. I went to Las Vegas for a bachelor party, and we lost the bachelor. And then we woke up, and we were in some kind of a suite, and there was a tiger in there. And then, for some reason, Mike Tyson came in.
Kevin, that was...
I don't remember.
That
was, no, there was a baby.
That was the movie, The Hangover.
We found a baby in the closet.
That was the movie, The Hangover, that you saw and probably thought it was your life because
that could be.
That's the way your brain works.
Yeah. And here's Beer Mug from yesterday. And then we'll take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was it's 7:20 and...
Last night or this morning?
This morning.
Okay.
The a.m.
The a.m. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
No!
So that happens. That's my man, Beer Mug.
You don't wake up in Chatsworth, period.
Right.
Let alone in a bush in Chatsworth.
In a bush, woken up by the sun. That's rough.
Oh, that's horrible.
By the way, Bush and Chatsworth, I think I rented that at one point.
1-800-520-1067 is the number you call. We'll put you on the air next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about you blacked out and you woke up someplace. And it was a surprise to you.
That's a bad surprise.
Yeah, I don't remember showing up here. How did I wake up here?
It's like a mystery. It's great. It's like a mystery novel. You don't know how to solve the clues.
Oh, this is great. It's like 2.5 men. Like 2.5 men.
Oh, that rocks.
I figure if we get our own laugh track, then
we'll sound a lot funnier.
Anything we say, people will go, oh, that's funny. Yeah.
That guy likes it.
That guy, man.
We'll be wildly popular. And they'll have us on for 10, 12 seasons.
All right, let's go to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hi there.
You woke up where?
In a shopping cart in front of my dorm.
Oh, Cindy.
In a shopping cart?
Yeah.
It's very Animal House.
I have trouble sleeping anyway. How do you sleep? You pass out, I guess. But in a shopping cart, that's not comfortable.
Well, I was a theater major, and where I went to college, you had to audition at the end of the year to be able to stay in the program.
Right.
You didn't pass the audition, they kicked you out of school.
Wow.
So at that huge audition, we started drinking right after everybody was done. And all I remember is I started drinking on Friday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, I woke up in a shopping cart.
All right. Do you know who pushed you home?
No clue. No,
you
just arrived there.
But it sounds like you had 2 days that you don't remember.
Yep, that's right. About a day and a half, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you pass the audition?
Yeah, actually I did. I was one of, there were 40 people in the class. I was one of 20 who made it in.
Nice.
Well,
and then I... promptly quit the profession.
I was going to say, how's that going?
Yeah, not so much.
Now she's a full-time shopping bag lady. She lives on the street in another shopping bag. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I like that one.
Awesome.
All right, let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Chris, you blacked out, and when you awoke, you were?
On a roof.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart.
I'll right? Ralph.
Just like Ralph, okay.
Yeah. Roof of where?
Yeah, the roof of what?
A Maytag appliance building in Lake Havasu.
In wow. Lake Havasu?
You must get that a lot there.
Do you work there?
No. I was out there for Memorial Day weekend.
It's partying.
Got it. And, you know, just a long day of drinking, and for some reason I decided to sleep on a roof.
All right.
Were you shopping for a washer or dryer?
They really like that one.
The audience loves me.
Oh, that was good.
I'm the Charlie Sheen of radio.
Thank you, Chris. Sadly, we knew we'd get plenty of calls on this topic. Let's go to Justin. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's going on?
You woke up after blacking out where?
Getting kicked off a train in Japan.
Had you started drinking in America?
In the United States? Or
wow.
We were in southern Japan. We just pulled in. I was on an aircraft carrier, and we came back from Iraq, and we started drinking, and we thought it would be cool to go to another club in a different city. And we ended up not making it because we blacked out on the train, and we just went across the country instead.
Excellent.
Oh, man.
How far away were you? How far away were you when you woke up?
It was about 5.5 hours on a train.
Wow.
So the trains were closed when we got off of it. And luckily, they're really nice. They don't speak crap of English, but they helped us find a taxi cab, and we paid, about $500 to get back.
He sounds angry that they don't speak English in Japan.
Yeah.
They don't even speak English.
They should speak English everywhere, really.
Yeah. Everybody should.
That's right.
All right, okay. But Justin, really, you're on a train for 5 hours. You get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there was four of us, so, I'd expect somebody else to wake up and take care of me, but I guess that didn't happen.
Yeah. Did you get back in time, or were you AWOL?
No, we didn't get back in time, but it was, we were pretty lucky that we weren't leaving anywhere, so it was all right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
You woke up someplace?
For some reason, this is funnier when girls do it for some reason to me.
Because it's rare.
Me too.
For when, yeah.
So, Jessica, when you blacked out, where did you wake up?
On my dog's bed and my front porch.
On your dog's bed.
On your dog's bed.
Yeah, I have a chihuahua.
You were on the dog,
that is
were
a
you?
Tiny little bed.
Yeah, it was a really small bed, and apparently all the contents of my purse were left on my front porch, because apparently I was looking for my keys, and I couldn't find them.
Right.
So you just lay down.
She
said, hey, that's the world's smallest bed. I could probably sleep there.
Yeah.
The dog seems to like it.
It was enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Times.
You're pretty.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. That's nice. She's a lovely flower. Let's go to Rich. You don't want your parents involved. I know that.
No.
I used to sleep on the side of my house so I wouldn't go into my house drunk when I came home.
So you'd sleep it off so your parents wouldn't be able to smell it on your breath or whatever.
If I got up a decent hour, I'd go by the side of the house, usually vomit, then just curl up on the side of the house near the bushes and just take a nap. So when I woke up, I was somewhat reasonable before I went in because I was always petrified my parents would find out.
I like it.
Yeah.
Rich, hi.
Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How are your parents involved with this story?
Well, woke up one morning and we had this huge ivy hill in front of my house.
Oh, it sounds comfy.
And for some reason, instead of just walking up the driveway and walking into the door, I decided to crawl up the ivy hill and made it about halfway up and fell asleep.
Okay, good.
And the next morning, I woke up to a garden hose and water raining down on me with my mom screaming at me.
I like it.
Your mom sprayed you?
Yeah, my mom, instead of coming just down to wake me up, she just took the hose to me.
Nice.
Woke me up out of a perfectly found fine sleep.
Sure, you're having a nice, restful night.
Yeah, I was resting up just fine. And the downside was our house is at the top of a hill. The neighborhood kind of emptied out, so everybody saw me sleeping on the side of this hill.
That's great.
Your mom taught you an important lesson.
That's great, with the hose. I like that. All right, one more. Let's go to Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. You woke up after blacking out where?
I woke up on a random house on the patio in a harbor in the hot tub.
In a hot tub?
In a hot tub.
Yeah, I woke up because my head fell into the water and I breathed in and got a mouthful of water.
Oh.
And was like, oh, my God.
How long have you been in the hot tub? Because you can't get out looking like a raisin.
I was nice and pruned up like a raisin.
Yeah.
My hands were just white, and they hurt. I mean, it was long enough that my hands were hurting.
Oh, my gosh.
When you woke up, was it 1983, and was it the hot tub time machine? Best case scenario.
Seriously?
Best case scenario.
Really?
It's a new movie that's coming out, Ralph.
The crowd isn't laughing at
that? Put that in the file, please.
Wait, hold on. Let me tell it again.
We're going to take that
back. Did you wake up in 1983 in the hot tub time machine?
They like it.
They like it.
What are you going to do?
That's the magic of the laugh track right there.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be funny.
So safe to you.
Oh, stop it, people. Seriously, stop.
And don't forget, if you want to be in the pit to see Social D and all the bands on both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas sold-out concerts this weekend, all you have to do is be the first down to the Kevin and Bean Show with a photo of you naked with your grandma. We do this contest once every couple of years or so, and it's always a lot of fun. Fun for us, not maybe so much
your
fun
grandma
for you.
Doesn't have to be naked, but you have to be naked in a photo that you take today with your grandma.
I think it's a bonus if grandma's naked too, though, because Ralph said he'll buy you a hot dog if you do that.
through.
Anyway, if you need more details, you have questions about it, or you want to come on down and do that, you can call Chip at 1-800-520-1067. This is the manliest show on the Kevin and Bean program in a while. Petros Papadakis coming up. We just had Mark Wahlberg on the program. Our friend Adam Carolla on the phone right now. AdamCarolla.com. Christmas Carolla live shows are happening all up and down the West Coast, including December 16th through the 19th at the Irvine Improv, and two big shows on New Year's Eve at El Portal in North Hollywood. How are you, Ace Man?
Oh, a little hungover.
All right.
Calling from San Francisco.
Yeah, you got a bunch of shows up there this week, too. You're really working hard this holiday season. I thought once you wrote the book and then went on that huge press tour, you'd say, that's it, I'm taking some time off. But no.
Yeah, I should have. A smarter man would have.
Is hungover code for tired because I've been working a lot, or is it actually hungover because you drank a lot?
Well, it's both.
Okay.
Because, you know, you do two shows, and you get back to these hotel rooms, and you get back at 12:30 at night, and you're wide awake because you just did two shows.
Right.
So you have to have a couple of sips of wine in order to slow yourself down enough to fall asleep in a strange room in a strange town with a strange comforter.
And a strange woman in bed next to you.
Yeah.
It's getting creepy in here. All right. AdamCarolla.com is where you get all the details. Adam joins us every Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working our way down to number 1. It's that time where people are getting their Christmas trees. And a lot of people getting the fake Christmas tree this year. Our own Jimmy Kimmel swears by the fake Christmas tree.
Is that
tree.
Right? You know who keeps his up 24/7, 365 days a year is our man Bean.
Oh, that would be not so lean Bean Baxter.
His fake tree.
Hey, Adam and I got our picture taken in front of my Christmas tree when he was up here, over the summer or something, right, Ace?
Bean, remember we agreed not to talk about that?
I'm sorry. All right, so now I'm guessing if I know Adam Carolla that you're against a fake tree. You think it's a slap in the face of America, right?
It's an attack against the baby Jesus. It's worse. The number one answer for the fake tree is they don't have to deal with the hassle of going down to the church and dropping off the $60 so the money can go to some retarded kids and throwing it on top of the Jeep and bringing it home. But let's just really examine hassle, because you get a lot of that, oh, it's such a hassle getting that tree, and this is so much easier. The thing about Christmas is it's supposed to be a hassle. That's the deal. I mean, you go out and you shop. Like, it's easier. It'd be easier for you to buy Transformers and throw them right in your kid's face, except for you wrap them in paper and put a bow on top of it, and then the kid just rips up the wrapping paper. It's a hassle, but that's the point.
That's how you do it.
I see. I gotcha.
You string popcorn. By the way, can you imagine getting kids to string popcorn?
No.
A bowl of popcorn and some thread they beat the crap out of you with. Boy, is it. Everything is a hassle. You don't have, canned turkey. That would be easier. It's a hassle to bake one, but it's a good hassle. And I'm just saying to all the people who don't want the hassle and are tired of the hassle, kill yourself.
Wow.
Think about it. Life is the ultimate hassle. It's not being hassled right now?
Who?
Don Meredith.
Oh, see, because he's dead.
He's gone. He's avoided the ultimate hassle.
So you're suggesting that your good friend Jimmy Kimmel kill himself?
Well, I'm saying...
And Bean.
I'm saying if you really want to avoid the hassle of life, this is the ultimate hassle removal.
All right.
Get that tree, And by the way, the pine needles and the fresh smell and all that, it's all worth it.
I agree.
And then, Bean, what do you do? If you have the thing up 300 days out of the year, what the hell are you supposed to do when Christmas comes around?
I'll tell you what I do is starting around the actual holiday season, once we get into mid-November, that's when I start turning the lights on every night and leaving actually lighting it up as a Christmas tree rather than it just being a piece of furniture, which it is the rest of the year.
Oh, well, that is just the three wise men had mine. And by the way, let me say this about the three wise men.
All right.
Do you need three wise men? I feel like if you're wise, we only need one of you.
That's a good
Maybe
point.
They aren't so wise.
Maybe they do you need so much backup?
Maybe they have different specialties.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that guy's so smart. Why do we need a backup and then a runner-up to him?
Good point. I think your next book needs to be rewriting the Bible, Ace.
Yeah, not sure if those cats were as wise as we think they were. Number two, did you guys see the Jersey Shore folks on Barbara Walters last night?
I didn't see it. I heard that she picked them as one of their most interesting people of the year, and that's ridiculous.
Fascinating. Oh, those ass clowns are fascinating. But what happened to the 15 minutes of fame? Remember when 15 minutes were 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's gone.
Right.
Yeah,
that's gone. Yeah, if you're famous once, you're famous forever now. You can't get people like Omarosa out of your life anymore.
I know. And what about, how'd you know she was in the room? The point is this. It used to be like, hey, it was Cato Kaelin, and Cato Kaelin was famous for 5 minutes, and then Cato Kaelin is gone now. Now it's like, remember all those things? Like, remember, like, 5 years ago, you'd be talking about Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian, and you'd be like, ah, don't worry. She'll be gone. She'll be yesterday's. No, still making millions of dollars a year. And again, on Barbara Walters' show.
Yeah.
I believe it. I mean, those shows are set aside for celebrities.
No, not anymore.
Not for people to get punched out at bars, and then doesn't it kind of hurt the credibility of the show? And then what if you're the celebrity that's got to go after the spray-on tan slut that's going on from New Jersey? I mean, does that piss you off if you're Sandra Bullock and you got to go find these a-holes?
That's a good point. It does kind of diminish the honor, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. All right, and number one, I was in Vegas last weekend, and was making that, by the way, there needs to be a rule. I was making the walk from my room to the elevator. You know, they do these things where they put the elevator in the middle,
right,
and then they all branch out, and it's the hub, and you walk down that long spoke. And if your room is at the end, it can be hundreds of miles before you get to that.
That is accurate, yes.
Especially like at places like the MGM, you have to actually pack a lunch.
Yeah, there should be like a rest stop there where you can go to bathroom and have sex with a prostitute, and put a vending machine halfway down the hall. Yeah, there should be like a 2 mile rule, which is there has to be an elevator every 2 miles.
Right.
So that is just an endless treadmill of bad carpet.
That's right.
By the way, that's the same hall where Jimmy's brother, John Kimmel, said, I'm going to close my eyes and run down this hall and see how far I get.
Uh-huh.
He got about 8 feet. He ran right into a piece of corner bead with his forehead.
Oh!
12 stitches.
Oh!
In the middle of his forehead. And you know what's the great thing about being a guy is? I laughed my ass off.
Of course.
Blood was pouring from his forehead.
You could make that 2 miles interesting if you're creative.
He made the first 8 feet a lot of fun, and then he hit the corner beat.
It is crazy. You do need a rest stop at some point halfway. You're absolutely right, Adam.
Yeah, you're like, I need some oxygen and a Sherpa, one of those protein bars and some supplements, and I want an Indian to drag me on one of those things they drag a lean-to behind a horse. Like, it's in a stream where I can get some water. It is absolutely insane how far that is. And so I was walking that at 6:15 in the morning last Sunday, leaving Vegas, and started seeing people. I saw two couples, and they were in, like, running gear. And I thought, Jesus Christ, this is obnoxious. I went to bed at 1, and I got people working out at 6 a.m. And then I realized when I got down to the lobby and saw an army of these a-holes, they were in a marathon. They were running a marathon in Vegas, and I thought, marathons have now taken over. Oh, fine, Boston, New York, whatever. But L.A., I don't think so. In Vegas?
Yeah.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
Again, how many people were walking back broke and hung over at 6 a.m. from that casino after drinking 15 Bloody Marys and smoking two packs of cigarettes and have to pass all these a-holes with their leg warmers on.
They're considering suicide and these guys are getting ready to run.
Yeah, it really, I'm just saying, every town does not need a goddamn marathon, and especially Las Vegas.
But in the good side, you can run the marathon in one of those hallways. So.
I covered the first 6 miles.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It flies in the face of what Vegas is all about. You're right. You can see Adam Carolla live on stage, and why wouldn't you want to, at the Irvine Improv December 16th through 19th. It is a phenomenal live show. You will laugh your ass off, and don't make any other plans before you've checked out Adam's show at New Year's Eve at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. And next week, when we talk to you, Ace Man, I understand you have a very special deal for Adam Carolla fans, something that they're going to love for New Year's Eve that's going to make it a night to remember. Have a great weekend, dude. Will we see you at Acoustic Christmas this weekend, or are you taking some time off?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I'll be back before then.
Adam doesn't know where he is or where he's going.
That's true. We'll catch up with you next week, but buddy, thanks a lot for coming on, all right?
Yes.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, what you did in a car that led to an accident coming up in about 20 minutes. And if you have not been listening for a number of years, you're definitely going to stick around and hear Lisa's story, because it's really one of the greatest stories I've ever heard in my life.
This is a good story.
It's a great one.
And it will make you respect her even more as a woman and a potential girlfriend. So that's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we need to talk about keeping up with the Kardashians. What's the story here? What's going on with Khloe and Lamar, Kevin?
Khloe Kardashian married Lamar Odom, and now apparently they're going to some kind of
marriage counseling,
because she's afraid that he, Lamar Odom of the Lakers, married her, Khloe Kardashian, so that he could increase his level of fame.
Oh, are you kidding?
That's what she
said. It doesn't seem likely. I mean, she's only famous because her hotter sister is famous.
Right.
Right? And now she's only famous because she's married to an NBA star. I mean, none of this really is about her. She's only famous by association as it is.
I don't know if you've talked to or seen Lamar Odom in the past, but he does not enunciate clearly. There's a little of him in a locker room interview.
You know, set guys up as well as set myself up, finding opportunities to post, be able to rebound and
speak up, please.
You know, rebound like a power forward, and then you kind of switch your mindset and push it out and make a play like a point guard. Probably a strength to my game.
So that's Lamar.
Wow.
He's a little mumbly, yeah. And is it true, because I don't watch the Kardashians show, but is it true that he is subtitled on the TV show?
Yes. Yes, they have to type up the words on the screen that he's saying, because you can't understand what he's saying.
All right. Well, we asked producer Alex if we could talk to the great Lamar Odom from the Los Angeles Lakers, and I believe we have him on the telephone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lamar. Are you there?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. This is Chloe.
Oh, hi, Chloe. We're calling for your husband.
Hi. How are you?
We're good. We were looking for Lamar. Is he there?
Oh, yeah. Sure, he's here. Okay. Would you like to talk to him?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, stop.
Why is she screaming?
I don't know.
Circus peanuts.
Right?
Did you say circus peanuts? Hey, Lamar, we wanted to ask you about this story that you're going to see a marriage counselor because Chloe thinks that you're trying to latch onto her fame.
You do enjoy candy, that's for sure. But I think Kevin was asking if the reports are true you're seeing a marriage counselor.
Oh, no. You know what I'm saying? But I'm honey. I'm a big hunk. I'm the old root beer barrels.
I never thought I'd ask this, but I'm not getting. Could you put your wife back on the phone for just one quick second, please? I'm not getting the answer that we're looking for.
I'm no Skittle.
Hello?
Ow. Quieter.
Hi.
Chloe, you don't have to yell, but we'd like to know what.
I'm not.
We'd like to know what Lamar just said.
Oh, he said that, yes, we're in counseling, but we don't have any problems. We're just making sure that we both want to start our lives out on the right page.
Wow, I didn't get any of that from what I heard, Lamar. Okay, all right, please stop screaming, guys. All right, put him back on the phone, would you, please?
All right, hold on!
Okay, stop yelling.
Lamar, what about the reports that your wife believes that you married her in order to make yourself more famous? It seems unlikely to us, but what's your take on it?
Well, it's Mike and Ike. Boston baked beans.
Then I'm going to buy the caps and the gold nickel wafers.
All right, I hate to ask, but you maybe put Chloe back on for the translation.
No.
I know.
Oh, Chloe, take it down.
Hi. You married your husband, or he married you because he's trying to get more famous based on the Kardashian fame. Is that true?
Well, it was a concern, and he just said that we talked about it, and we realized that we both bring separate things to the relationship.
Yeah.
He brings a certain amount of fame in the sports world. Yes, my family is known in the entertainment world.
Stop yelling.
But together, we think we both help each other, not only in terms of our higher profile, but also in emotional and physical support.
I heard bottle caps and Skittles. That's what I heard.
He
didn't say any of that. He didn't say that. You're lying.
Okay.
All right. We got
to
go.
You want to go one more time? Talk to him. He'll tell you.
Okay. All right.
Lamar?
Well, how do you put up with her? That's maddening. You've got to put a pillow on her face when she's sleeping.
I'm going to suck these pecan rolls. With your Pac-Man pattern. I'm in general. I'm married to a Yeti.
Indeed.
That we got. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Over the weekend, we were at Comic-Con, and we interviewed a lot of people on Friday morning, but we didn't have time for everybody.
Yeah.
So after the show, we went and interviewed some more people, including the star of the upcoming Tron.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bridges.
Comic-Con 2010 continues here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Tron Legacy. Finally, in theaters after, what, 28 years or something like that. What's the rush? Ladies and gentlemen, the star of Tron and the new Tron movie, Jeff Bridges, joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey there, guys. Well.
Great to talk to you again. Like I said, why the rush?
It's kind of strange to have a sequel this long after the original, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. 27 years. But it's funny. It seems like we just had a long weekend and we mustered, you know. It helped, that illusion was helped by having Bruce Boxleitner, who was the original Tron, on board, as well as Steven Lisberger, our director and the writer of original Tron. And I'm really happy that they included Lisberger, because he is the main Tronster, man. I mean, he knows the whole thing.
What did you think when they first came to you and said, we're going to do another Tron? You must have been scared of that.
I heard rumors, you know, for about 20 years that they were going to do
okay.
it. And I said, come on, you know, that's kind of an interesting idea. What's the script, you know? And I never got a script, and evidently they weren't happy with what they were coming up with. And they didn't know who to, you know, choose for the director. And I'm really glad they waited, because I think we have a good story, and they got this great director, Joe Kaczynski. Can you imagine? For your first film, directing, I don't know how many millions of dollars this movie cost, but the pressure that would be. But he was, like, you know, so calm and confident. He's an architect, so bringing that to the film was great. You know, it's very difficult when you watch the film to tell what are practical sets, actual, you know, sets that you can see. And CGI. You know.
Are the special effects any better now than they were in 1981?
It's funny you should ask that. No, they're not. They're actually more primitive. No. Back in that, when the original one, we shot it in 70mm black and white. The sets were all black duvetine with white adhesive tape. And then they sent the whole thing over to Korea and had these ladies paint in the glowing lines of the suit and so forth. And in this one, of course, it's just, you know, shot in, you know, 3D, and some of the scenes. It was the first time for me to make a movie where cameras were not used. They used optical sensors. You would go into a room that they called the volume.
All right, you're duding out on me now, because I can make a movie without cameras.
That's it. This is what we're in store for. This is what all movies will eventually probably get down to. You go into a room called the volume, and there are hundreds of sensors pointed at you. And you have a leotard on with these dots on your face and on your costume. But you have no actual real costume. You're not dressed like your character will be dressed. You're not in a set or anything like that. And you do the scene, and then everything, from the camera angles to the lighting to the makeup, the costumes, the set, everything is done in post.
That seems really difficult as an actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
What do you act against?
The challenge was to... Because you're right, it does really rub against your acting fur. You know, it just feels terrible, you know.
I don't have first. Acting fur, but I think
it
would.
Well, if you did, it would feel really wrong. But the challenge is to get rid of that resentment that you're having for not. I want a costume. No, I like having a set to know where I am. You know, because that there's nothing, you know, a greater buzzkill than, you know, resentment when you got that. So you got to get that out of your system and just play like when you were a kid and you had to pretend all that, you know, that kind of stuff.
That technology allows them to peel 28 years off of you in the movie. What is that like to watch?
I haven't.
Can they do it in real life?
Yeah, no, they can't do that in real life. Not yet, but one day. I haven't seen the final, because, you know, it's one of those things that they're going to keep working on. But what I've seen, it's really getting good. You know, it's really believable, and it's exciting for me as an actor, and rubbing my fur the right way, I might say, is that now I can play a character at any age. I can play the same guy at 4 years old or as a 100-year-old man or whatever, you know.
This is the voice of Jeff Bridges, Oscar-winning actor, talking about Tron Legacy coming out Christmas time. We're here at Comic-Con talking to Mr. Bridges. You have your choice of great roles at this stage of your career. You certainly didn't have to do this movie. What attracted you to want to go back and play this character again, Flynn in Tron?
Well, one of the things was the same thing that got me to the party on the first one, which was taking part in a movie that was going to use all this great technology, you know, the cutting edge stuff, and you know, probably also the kid in me, you know, somebody said, hey, you're gonna play this guy who gets sucked into a computer, you know, and, oh yeah, okay, you know, so that kid thing. But on the more adult level, the chance of participating in a modern day myth, you know, the myths are so important to us, I think, to help us navigate the, you know, the waters that we live in. And each age has its own challenges, and technology is certainly, you know, one for us. And so our movie deals with kind of the underbelly of technology, the darker side, you know, some of the things that we might watch out for, you know, because we get addicted, or at least I do, you know, to comfort and media gratification and these kind of things that technology can help us achieve, but it's also frightening. You know, we can lead us to paths we don't want to necessarily go down.
All right, here's my last question, and I'll let the guys get theirs. Could this happen to me in real life? Because I spend a lot of time online. I get kind of worried. I see your movie, and I go, oh, man, that looks bad. I don't want this to happen to me. That's a bad way to go.
Yeah, yeah, there is this laser that you want to stay clear of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't press yes when the laser button comes
up. Yeah, that's right.
One of the reasons everyone's so excited about this film is Tron is one of those movies that has stayed with people all this time. The fans are still as passionate about it today as they were when they first saw it. What do you think it is about Tron that has captured people's imaginations for so long?
Well, probably, you know, when they first saw it as a kid, and it was that cutting edge thing that, you know, caught their attention. That's in their memory. That's a very strong stamp in their memory. And I think this next one's going to be kind of a similar thing. You know, it's the film industry gets to, you know, bring out all their fancy wear and show you this is what we can do now. You know,
my last question is: do we have to wait till Christmas? Can we do like Thanksgiving? Can we do September? Seriously, well, can we move it up?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that, you know, you got to wait, man. Be patient. You know, it's that immediate gratification deal, man. Right.
The movie looks great, Jeff. Thanks so much for the time on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Great talking with you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Dude, seriously, what the f*** is up with Blind Melon? How did that crappy song make it back onto the playlist? It was a goddamn song way back in 1989 or whatever the f*** came out originally. It sucked then. It sucks now. Shannon Hoon is a dead, dirty f***ing hippie. Dude, and will wow. always be a dead, dirty f***ing We need to get that off the radio
all right.
now because it sucks.
So you enjoyed it and want to hear it again. Okay, your request has been counted. Thank you very much for the call, sir.
We'll play it again. Yeah, thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about the Lost series finale coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Because I'm still don't have any idea what went on. Plus, Mary Lynn Ricegub.
Oh, cool.
From 24. They have the series finale tonight.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we were promising information about my car accident, but we actually gave that last week. We're actually going to do a feature right now called
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! It's a new feature that we have.
Come on.
Wait,
how
are
you
going to
come at me like that?
It's a new feature called...
It says on the schedule, Kevin's car accident.
It does.
Yeah, that
how
was
did
a,
that happen?
That was a gardener that ran into my car almost three times, Bean.
backed up, hit my car, pulled forward, back up, hit my car, pull forward, put it in reverse again, and I honked. I was like, hey, isn't there something in you that wants to know what's stopping your car going backwards?
Good time.
That was the story, but now it's...
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Oh, how, this is how you come at a man first day back from vacation.
While Bean is on vacation, he's still haunting us with his facts.
It's worse because he doesn't have this outlet, I think.
He doesn't,
I think
by the way, talk to us, so he tweets
over.
It.
Yes.
You guys won't believe this because you never let facts stand in the way of a good... what the hell is that?
I don't know.
That's just a mistake, sorry.
You guys won't believe this because you don't like facts to stand in the way of your opinions.
Correct.
But I was on the computer very little during the vacation and tweeted very little. Maybe once or twice a day, tops.
Then how did you do such bad stuff if that's all you did? Once or twice a day, your average should have been higher.
Well, what are you talking about then? Thanks
for that tweet.
Bean!
Well, we have a few of your tweets that we'd like to highlight.
Okay.
Sadness. Just realized my vacation is half over today. I don't miss work at all, except for talking to King of Mexico and Psycho Mike.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
Why is that a bad? Is that a bad tweet? That was a shout out to my friends that I wasn't talking to, wasn't seeing much last week.
Right, but then for everyone else, they go, "Hey, he missed.
What about?
He didn't miss us.
He just missed them.
Just That's King just and Psycho. You didn't say anything about Lisa or Alex or."
Hell?
Ralph or me.
You come back
my
and I say,
friends.
Oh, we missed you, Bean.
But we're just saying it was a little rude, that's all.
It's a lot rude.
Here's another one.
Every couple of years, I rediscover what a brilliant singer Bing Crosby was.
Oh, my God. Okay, now.
If you're doing 1 to 2 tweets a day, how does that make it?
Because instead of getting up and doing this show, I get up and I'm able to listen to whatever I want in the morning. And one day, I pulled out some of the Bing Crosby albums and had them going. And I just was really having a great time enjoying myself. I thought I'd share. Maybe there are other people out there who might also enjoy Bing Crosby.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bing!
If any of my followers have a cuter pig than my Godzilla, I would like to see your photo, too.
This falls into the category of person who has to show you pictures of their kid slash animal.
Right.
I had a particularly
and
cute
is the most
photo
obnoxious person
day.
When it comes to photos of his animal.
If any of your pigs like Bing Crosby, let me know.
That's that tweet.
Bing!
There are people who enjoy seeing photos like that. And some of those people, that's why they follow me, is because they want to see the pet photos.
I'm serious. Does anyone know if one can have a sloth as a pet?
Oh, my God.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Twitter needs to be taken away from you. That's what I'm saying.
But where else should I go for information?
Does anyone still remember the TV show Gunsmoke from caveman days? James Arness? He was Marshall Matt Dillon. He's still alive. Who knew?
Oh, my goodness.
You can't. Even you can't think anyone cares about that.
The show went on. He was an old man when the show went off the air in 1975. How is that dude still alive?
Right, but does anyone else care about that?
I don't know.
I do. The answer is no.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! In the first verse of Steve Miller's hit, Take the Money and Run, he rhymes do, tube, and loose.
Okay.
That's terrible songwriting.
But was that in a Steve Miller chat room? Or did that just come out of left field?
I heard it on the radio.
Let's discuss Take the Money and Run, fans.
No. Right,
in the second verse of Take the Money and Run, he rhymes El Paso and Hassle. In the third, he rhymes Texas, Faxes, and Justice.
That's crappy songwriting. You guys are with me, right?
It is, and it's crappy tweeting as well.
Thanks for that tweet.
San Diego Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers.
Here comes the blitz. Rivers unloads it. A wobbler caught by Gates.
The bottom line is winning the game. Anytime you win, team collectively did enough to win, and that's really the main objective.
Rivers fires over the middle, complete. A diving catch.
No doubt about it. He's one of the premier quarterbacks in the National Football League. Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers.
Rivers going to try to run it in.
One thing I've always, tried to live by is be quick and accurate with it. It doesn't really matter what it looks like as long as it's getting to the right guy.
Rivers pumps and throws long for Jackson. And he's all the way inside the 15-yard line. Another fantastic.
fantastic throw, a line drive by Rivers.
I hear that you don't swear.
That is accurate.
How do you play a game of football with the intensity and the passion without swearing?
Yeah, you get a bunch of gollies and dadgummit.
I haven't heard the words dadgummit maybe since I was a little kid.
And golly as well.
And golly, too.
Yeah. Yeah, come down to Alabama. You'll hear a few more of them.
I guess so. Hey, it's hard to believe, folks, but the NFL is really almost here. The Hall of Fame game is a little over 2 weeks away. The San Diego Chargers play the Chicago Bears. Check this out. Preseason game one is August 14th, which is right around the corner. Very happy to welcome Philip Rivers to the studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Great to meet you, man. We have a lot of great guests. We're very lucky in this job. We meet a lot of people, but we geek out most of all when we meet athletes because, let's face it, there isn't a little boy in this country who hasn't grown up wanting to do what you do for a living. It must be so much fun.
It is. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. And there's, you grew up in the backyard. Just about every kid does, playing some type of ball and playing in the backyard. And
Every kid wins the Super Bowl. Every single kid throws that pass that wins the Super Bowl.
But that's the difference. I did that, and Bean did that, and Lisa probably did that, but you're actually doing it.
Yeah, no, it really is a dream come true. It's what I always wanted to do. I grew up my dad was a high school coach, my high school coach. And
is it true that you were the water boy at one point?
I was the water boy, the ball boy. I had all those titles.
That's got to be rough because then once you start playing, now everybody kind of picks on you, I imagine.
Well, yeah, all my dad's players picked on me. I was the little kid, you know, that they pushed around all those years growing up. Couldn't wait to get my chance.
Not too long. Philip's a big dude. I mean, it's tough to tell sometimes on TV because you're in a crowd of big dudes, but when you walk in the room and you're what, 6'5", like 240 or something like that, you go, whoa, big dude. Did you have a backup plan if you did not make it, as 99% of the people don't make it to the NFL? What were you going to do instead?
Well, you know, I have it in me to coach one day, just being around it. You know, that's what my dad did. And then I've always wanted to do some type of broadcasting, probably not maybe in this field, but some type of, you know, I used to always love Kirk Herbstreit and Mike Tirico and those guys that did the college games. And
sure.
So I've always kind of, those were my two backup plans if this didn't work out.
Is this, well, let me back up and ask the first question first. Is there a day off when you're in the NFL? Because I know there is an off season, but I bet the minute you play your last game, you start thinking about next year and what you can do to prepare for it.
Yeah, well, I try to take a couple weeks. You take a couple weeks off, and then you do start to gear back up.
A couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, just the lifting and the, you know, trying to stay in shape. It's still off. I consider it off. Even you don't, you know, you're done by lunch every day. That's pretty much an off day.
That's not bad, right?
That's not bad. So, so the off season, they seem to run right into the season. There's not much of an off season. And then during the year, you know, every Tuesday is the league mandated day off. So every Tuesday we're off, but you're still kind of starting to prepare for next week's opponent.
Sure.
As a premier quarterback and the leader of the team, how much input do you have at this time when they're scrambling to get guys in and, you know, bring new players, re-sign old players who may be, I don't know, holding out for better contracts? I mean, do they come to you and say, how important is this guy to you, or what do you think about this guy, or is it news to you when it happens?
Yeah, it's pretty much news to me when it happens. You know, that's definitely that's separated, you know, the business side and us as players. The one thing I do get to do is talk to those guys, you know, talk to my teammates and players and try to encourage them or help them or give them advice or whatever.
If you wanted to go to the management and say, please make this happen, would they listen? Or
I don't think so, and I don't really feel that you know, that's my place to do, really. Whoever they put in that locker room, we're gonna go try to go win. And you know, we got a great group of management upstairs that I'll let them handle all that stuff.
That's a very diplomatic answer, Philip, because I know that, you know, guys like Vincent Jackson that you've had such success with, you want them out on the field, I imagine you do take it personally. What happens?
Well, again, I try to encourage Vincent and try to, you know, help them the best way I can and understand you never really know until you're in their position, you know. So I kind of give them the most support I can and encouragement, and you hope we get them. It's still July, still early, so we still got some time to get these guys back out there.
What does it feel like to start training camp in a week? Is it a week?
It's a week, a week from yesterday.
Are you just can't wait, or are you, oh, wow, it's going to be a long season?
Well, it's kind of that in-between. You know, it's kind of the last week before training camp is kind of the worst week because you're kind of antsy to get started. You're kind of no man's land. You're not in the relaxed feeling of an off season.
Right.
And you're not quite in training camp. And so I know my kids, my girls, my two oldest are kind of saying, we're not letting you go this year. You can't go to training camp. So
it kind of gets that time,
you know, because I've been at home so much the last few weeks. So, but I'm looking forward to it. You start to get ready to go about now.
But isn't it possible that your kids, after you go to training camp, are going to go, finally?
Well, I don't know.
That guy's gone.
Maybe. We have our own training camp at home, playing in the yard. So, yeah, they'll have a break, probably.
What's it like during the season in terms of how much time you have to just be regular dad, regular husband, and hang out at home?
Yeah, it's the days are long. Wednesdays and Thursdays are the long days, you know, probably like 6 to 6 or something. So you get home in time to, you know, eat supper and play in the yard a little bit before bedtime. But the schedule really sets up nice. You know, if we have a home game, Fridays and Saturdays are nice. We're home in the afternoons, and
it makes a huge difference just being at home.
Home game is a huge difference because
besides the crowd, I mean,
obviously the home field advantage. But
besides that,
when we leave, you know, when we have road games, we often leave on Fridays because we're going all the way to the East Coast and the time change.
Right.
So that turns it into a 3-day gone weekend on our road trip. So definitely being at home is nice.
Besides playing at home, besides Qualcomm, what's your favorite stadium to play in around the country?
You know, I think Denver.
Yeah.
And we've had some success there. That's not the only reason why, but there's something about going there. I don't know. It's a neat stadium, and the atmosphere is, and you got the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
You know, right there, the backdrop is pretty impressive.
What's the crappiest stadium in the NFL? And no one wants to go to.
Yeah. Going up to Oakland's not too far.
Why did we know that was going to be the answer?
I was thinking field, though, or, you know, place, but fans, I'm sure, make a huge difference as well, and they don't like you very much.
No, they don't. But it's fun to go there and win, and we've had some success there.
Do you get more up for a game against the Raiders?
Well,
just because you know of the rivalry in?
Definitely. I mean, I think any division game with Denver, Kansas City, or Oakland, but then Oakland, the rivalry there in California, you know, the only team in California we play twice a year. There's definitely a rivalry there. When they come to our place, a bunch of Raider fans turn out.
Of course,
you can definitely feel the rivalry with that matchup.
Is it hard to get up for a bad team? It seems like it is sometimes for professional sports where it goes, on paper, they should destroy this team. And yet, it's an even game because it seems like maybe mentally it's different.
Yeah, well, I think not so much in the NFL. You know, basketball, they're playing 82 games. And the baseball, there's 162 games. So it's harder to maintain that focus. But with us, there's only 16 chances, and we know how important each one is. And any team can win any week. So, you know, you get those 6 days to prepare, and you gotta bring it all 16 games because you never know which one can be the one that either keeps you out of the playoffs or get you in.
Yeah, that's a great point because it may not seem like a big deal to lose a game in week 4, but it could really come back to haunt you when you see what everybody else does the rest of the season.
And the number of games is right. I mean, you watch the Lakers, which is who I'm a fan of, and they can't keep at their prime the whole season. It just isn't possible. You know there's going to be lags and stuff, but I guess in the NFL with fewer games, it makes sense. You got to pretty much try to time it so that you're playing your best football going to the playoffs, but you don't have much time to really let down ever.
That's right.
We have so many more questions for our guest. Phillip Rivers is in studio from the San Diego Chargers. When we come back, we'll get to our questions. We'll try to squeeze in some of yours if you want to call and talk to Phillip, too, 1-800-520-1067. And we'll tell you all about the nonprofit foundation Rivers of Hope, which I know is something you're very excited about, Phillip. And I think our listeners will want to be a part of that, too. All of that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Phillip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you can meet Phillip and lots of the Chargers and lots of the Charger girls. More importantly, it is Charger Fan Fest coming up on August 7th starting at 9 o'clock in the morning at Qualcomm Stadium, and it is free admission. I imagine you meet fans every single day when you're out tooling around San Diego. People know who you are, so you must get a lot of feedback from the paying crowds out there, huh, Phillip?
Yeah, you do. It's really nice. You know, it's quite humbling, honestly. You know, you're around town, you're at a restaurant, and you know somebody recognizes you and said, "Hey, this is the year. Go get them." You know, and you forget maybe how recognizable you are because you know from people seeing you on TV and games, and then you realize you know how much people care and pull for the Chargers. So it is quite neat.
Yeah, people do. I mean, you do make such a difference with the work that you do in terms of just making people, enriching people's lives, because we love sports and it's an important part of our life and it means so much to the city. And of course, you're aware of that.
Are you going
to
cry?
No, I'm just, I think that's one of the reasons why we get so geeked out over professional athletes is just because, you know, it means a lot to us. That's all. Here's a question I've always wanted to ask. Is there like a fraternity of quarterbacks? Do you guys know each other? Are you friends with each other? Do you talk to some of those other guys on the phone from time to time, or is it pretty much, hey, they're all the enemy, I'm not going to talk to them during the season?
No, I think, you know, there's a handful of guys that I know that I've talked to or maybe see at a function, you know, or a charity event that you visit with. And I always enjoy trying to meet them and hear, you know, maybe how they call plays, maybe different things they do that's helped them. And we all kind of share information and pull for one another. Certainly we compete on the field on Sundays. But
do you know Peyton Manning?
A little bit.
Can you tell him to stop shouting so many signals?
A little bit.
Can you tell him to stop that?
See, that's the kind of stuff I enjoy. See, I enjoy watching.
He does that for like 45 seconds. Hike the ball.
As a quarterback, see, you get that. You kind of like
crazy.
That. It's kind of, that's your one chance. You're in charge. They can't go till you tell them to go.
Come on now.
I can see you out there barking. You use all 40 seconds of that play.
Maybe.
How about your boy Drew Brees, who you played with on the Chargers? Is he a guy you've kept in touch with, and how phenomenal has his success been in the last couple of years?
Yeah, Drew and I, we had a fun 2 years. We pushed one another. We competed. We had a good friendship, and we still talk and text and keep up throughout seasons, or if we play common opponents, and you know they won the Super Bowl, and I wanted to make sure I extended congratulations to him. But yeah, that was awesome for he and the Saints. You know, it was kind of neat. You could see you talked about the effect that football and sports has on
right.
the community. You could see there, I mean, the city there really, and that whole region really embraced,
yeah.
like they won the Super Bowl, you know, and that was really, really cool to see.
All right, one last question about the quarterbacks, the quarterback camaraderie, and then we'll go to some telephone calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show with Philip Rivers. What do you guys say about Brett Favre in the I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm back, I'm not back?
Well, you know, Favre's always been one of my favorites. I had a poster of him on my wall as a kid, and now I'm playing in the same league as him. So
right.
I kind of that's pretty cool. But you know, I think this year he's done it a little better. You know, he hasn't said a word. You know, he hasn't said whether he's coming back or not. But he hadn't really played the game and done a lot of interviews. He just stayed quiet. And
least he hasn't come out and said no.
Right. I would fully expect him to play.
You would.
I think it's just a matter of his ankle. He's going to give some more time and maybe let training camp pass and then come out and give it another run. And what a great year. At 40 years old, he had arguably the best year of his career.
Yeah.
And played as good as any quarterback in the league. So it was pretty amazing to see.
All right, let's get some calls on the air in our remaining moments with Philip Rivers from the San Diego Chargers, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Ruby, a question I'm sure you get asked a lot on line 4. Hi, Ruby. You're on with the QB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing? Hi, Philip.
Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to ask about LT. How do you feel that he's not going to be on the team this year, and what kind of impact do you think the team's going to have?
Yeah, well, you know, LT was great for us. You know, you get used to seeing a guy for 9 years, and you kind of think he's never not going to be there. So certainly a transition period, and I think we've been through that this summer and throughout the mini camps. We'll move on, and all good things come to an end. You never thought it would happen, but it has, and we wish LT the best. We drafted a running back, Ryan Matthews, out of Fresno State. The combination of he with Darren Sproles, Tolbert, Hester, we got a good group of running backs, and I would look for our running game to be hopefully back up to speed this season.
I think this is our year.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
Speaking of our year, Kevin asked you off the air the minute you walked in the studio. I'm sure you hear it a lot whenever you're north of San Diego. A lot of talk about, of course, Los Angeles wants the Chargers to move. But that's not something the Chargers are interested in, is it?
We like it right there in San Diego. Yeah,
but could you move anyway?
You guys can. Which one? Who did I hear said has family down in San Diego? Brother, sister?
That was Ralph in the other room. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They just come right down there and pull for us down there in San Diego.
Merriman was here, and he was telling us that about half the season tickets owners are from Orange County.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, make the trek.
I tell you what, our fan base is awesome in San Diego, but we realize it extends north, extends across the border. You know, we're Southern California's only team. We kind of like it that way. So, but yeah, we appreciate all the support we get up here. I was glad to come up for a day and visit with you guys.
Let's take an interesting question from Lisa. She's on line one, joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to ask a question of Philip Rivers. Lisa, you're up on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa. Hey, Philip. Hi. Good seller. Love you. My question is, I also grew up with a dad that was a coach, so I grew up on the field, and I'm currently refereeing high school football and would obviously love to move up in the ranks. For you personally, honestly, would that be a distraction? Not because I'm a chick, but because
you got to
keep one eye on the girl. Like, you're not sure, you know, being confident that there's a girl refereeing. Would that be a distraction for you? Just, you know, would you be worried about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't at all. I think, you know, obviously.
Are there female referees now?
Not that I know of. Yeah. Not that I know of. But, you know, when you're in uniform, you're in the stripes, I don't think anybody too much would pay attention to, you know, male or female. And as long as you could do the job, you know, I like to argue with the referees every now and then. But
as long as you can take that, Lisa. As long as you can take the arguing, then it would be fine.
Oh, yeah, I can take it. That's good. I got a teenager. I can take the arguing.
All right. There are girl refs in the NBA a lot. I mean, that happens a lot. I'm sorry, what, Bean?
I said, and wear something tight. Would you, Lisa? Would you do that for
Very
us?
Very nice.
No problem.
Thanks very much for the call. Rivers of Hope, you are very involved with placing foster children. Tell us about that, Philip.
Yeah, Rivers of Hope Foundation. My wife Tiffany and I started that this offseason to help unwanted, abandoned, orphan children in San Diego. And really, hopefully that will expand, but focusing in San Diego right now, since that's where we are, helping them find forever families, forever homes. So there's so many kids right there in the county.
How'd you come across this group that needed help, and how'd you decide to do it?
Well, you know, having five children of our own, we just saw the, you know, the loves of care, that they need daily, and you almost take for granted that every child gets that, but they don't. But they certainly deserve it. And just seeing and hearing the numerous stories of kids that move in six homes in two years, and I do a calendar with the Chargers every year that takes pictures with these kids to, you know, hopefully get them adopted. And you ask them what school they go to, and they kind of don't even know what to tell you because they've been to three or four schools. They don't, you know. So it was just really sad and hit home. And so we've set up some things, partnered with some different agencies that are already exist that help place these kids, and looking forward to finding these kids forever.
How can people get involved in that?
riversofhopefoundation.com or philiprivers.com. You can look at all the information there. We have a heart gallery there that takes pictures, shows pictures of these children, has a little bio of them, the kids that are available for adoption right now. You can actually see the face of these kids. You know, when they're statistic, it almost seems overwhelming. But when you can actually see the little boy, the little girl right there, and you go, you know, it may trigger you or you to tell someone else that, you know, here's a kid that needs you. And that's where you can find a lot of information, and there's a lot of links there to some other
riversofhope.com. And Philip Rivers with one L in Philip is .com is the other place to go. Do you know the statistics? Does it get more difficult with older kids?
Yeah, it does.
A 15-year-old, like, no. Like, nobody wants the problems.
It's really hard. Often, I don't know the exact percentage, but after like 13 or 14, they often age out of the system. And I want to say maybe up to even half of those kids that age out of the system, after 18, they're on their own.
Yeah.
And they often end up homeless. I mean, they don't know. They don't have anywhere to go. So certainly, you know, there's a better chance to get the younger kids, but focusing on helping, you know, the Rivers of Hope, you don't want to give them hope. Give the 13, 14, 15-year-olds hope, whatever that may be, temporarily and hopefully permanently.
Here's why you're a better person than we are, because if I had five of my own kids at home, the last thing I would be wanting to do outside of the house is deal with kids. You know, I'd be looking
for
anything.
Well, you don't like kids,
though. I'm just saying, you have five of them. For most people, that fills up, that's all the kid they need in their lives, you know what I mean? But here you off doing all this other work with the foster kids. So God bless you, Philip. That's outstanding. All right, so I guess we're out of time already, and I'm so sad because it's so awesome to have you in here, but there's so much promise. Every NFL fan right now thinks their team is going to win the Super Bowl. You feel the same way about yours, I bet.
We do. I think that's what makes it such a great league is you know, it's so competitive. Any team, any given year, there'll be a surprise team this year that goes and has a great year. There'll probably be a team that's predicted to do well that they won't do as well as you expect. And that's what makes it such a great league. And you got to, you know, it was mentioned earlier, 16. You only get 16 shots. Yeah. You know, you think of
what's the biggest hurdle to get there? That between now and then, is it injuries or?
Well,
injuries
always play a factor, and then it's just a matter of playing your best late in the year, which we've done in December. We haven't lost in December in 4 years, but we keep having those hiccups in January. So we've won four straight division titles.
Not bad.
Doesn't guarantee a fifth. You know, we got to go back and make sure, you know, people want to talk about the postseason, but we got to get there first. And
That's right.
Hopefully we can have a great regular season and get another shot and go after it this
year. Well, you don't have to worry about my Seahawks standing in your way. They don't seem to do that.
We played them this year. We play Seattle.
I know you do.
We come up there. We come up there. Is it week two or week three? Somewhere.
It's in the first 3 weeks. Yeah, sure. I know. And Pete Carroll, obviously, we don't know what he's got planned, but the Seahawks have not been much of a hurdle for the Chargers in recent years, I guess, is all I'm suggesting. All right. Meet Phillip and the other Chargers and the Charger Girls August 7th. That's at Qualcomm Stadium. Free admission for Charger Fan Fest. Go to philiprivers.com for all the information about the Rivers of Hope and everything else going on with you. Thank you so much for coming in the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
Marcy Playground.
That's what
efforts.
I'm talking about.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 8:39.
And
don't forget the big game party Sunday at the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa featuring Pepper and our own Gay Psycho Mike.
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We see a lot of stories, and some of them we just can't get our head around, and that's why we have to ask Alex to find us somebody for follow-up. Apparently, there is an up-and-coming rage in evangelical churches in this country. I mean, in the hundreds now, Kevin, there are churches that combine the teachings of the Bible with MMA fighting.
This is the whole younger people aren't getting into church, so we need to reach out to them in a way that will attract them to our churches.
Okay.
And I thought the whole church thing is all about, you know, peace and love, not necessarily, you know, beating a guy's head in, but apparently they have figured out a way to combine the two. We have many, many questions about this trend. As I say, there are hundreds of churches around.
700, this article says. How's that possible?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah,
and
this
some
is a
of
big
them,
trend.
Yeah. Some of them they have services and then they watch, you know, pay per view or MMA fights on television. Some of them they have actual fighting where you go and you sit there and you listen to the service and then you go out of the parking lot and you actually fight guys. It's just crazy.
There's
right?
a place in Nashville that is called Extreme Ministries, and the school's motto is "Where feet, fist, and face faith collide."
There you go.
So good times with that. That's what you're looking for in a church.
So apparently we do have one of the reverends who works at an MMA church. His name is, well, it's Ed Hardy, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Rev. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm dropping bones in the dome for Jesus.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah! Is there any way you could not fight and instead talk to us on the phone, Rev?
Sorry, got some of the disciples doing a little workout here. Sorry. You know, okay. The devil never takes a day off, and neither do we.
Okay. All right. I understand. Well, maybe you could explain a little bit, because I'm a little foggy on the concept. How do you use fighting to teach the what Jesus believed?
I'm sorry. What was that question again?
I said, how do you use fighting to teach the word of God?
Because that's what Jesus would do if he was still here, man. He'd be kicking ass and taking names.
I thought Jesus was the whole turn the other cheek guy.
All right. So his defense need a little bit of desire right there. But actually, he's got some amazing moves, like the Sermon on the Full Mount. You ever see that move?
I did not.
What a submission hold. The stigmata on the plata.
Wow.
You know, there's a move called a crucifix?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
no.
From the side control, you pull your opponent's arm between your legs and cross your legs, locking it there.
Right.
With one hand, you pull down your opponent's other arm,
right.
Allowing your free arm to punch an elbow his unprotected head. Now
wow.
That is Jesus right there.
How
punching somebody in their unprotected head?
I don't claim to be an expert, but I don't think Jesus ever punched anyone in their unprotected head.
God gave us two fists, brother. What do you think they're there for? To pound people in the face. Are you with me?
Couldn't somebody argue that the hands are there to, you know, to hand out food, to help the poor, to work a good, honest living?
They could stand up there weak like the devil. I'd rather use my hands for a rear naked chokehold.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
No. Do you sell the t-shirts that say Jesus didn't tap?
Absolutely. Jesus didn't tap, neither do we.
I don't want to anger, you know, religious people, but how do they know Jesus didn't tap?
Because he didn't.
His hands weren't exactly available.
He never tapped.
Right, but...
Hold on, wait, time out. His hands weren't exactly available.
I'm saying, how would we know?
Is that some sort of crucifix?
Yes! Reference? I'm saying, how do we know he didn't tap?
Wow.
Yeah.
Me?
Wow.
What, me? I'm selling the t-shirts Jesus didn't tap.
Mother Mary, First Lady of Muay Thai, please forgive him. He knows not what he does.
Mother Mary's the First Lady of Muay Thai?
I'll say a prayer for you, brother.
Right.
Wow. Are you with me?
No. What? 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, that band playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and Kate Ginther just won tickets to the Weenie Roast.
Your that doesn't sound like a real last name, by the way, Ginther. I'm suspect of that.
Your tickets are coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 10 minutes after 8.
After the hilarious segment with the Ask a Mortician last hour, I'm looking forward to livelying things up with hilarious comedian Tig Notaro joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and noted best-selling author currently on the New York Times bestseller list this week, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Silverman. Oh, both ladies in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about
I can't believe she's here. She's way too big for this show at this point. First of all,
I can't hear myself. Oh, wait, I just heard myself.
There you go.
Sorry. Hi!
You know, you've
Hi,
been
Sarah.
Here before, right?
Oh, the sound of my voice is so grating. Happened to me in the morning. It's a little too much.
Mike, make sure you she's talking right in.
You said it, sister. All right, let's get this thing worked out.
Hey.
All right.
There we
Tig,
go.
Can you hear us and can we hear you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so you're here. That's how it's done. All right, fantastic.
That's and, my we've been married for 40 years voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can be like right around the corner from somebody and be like, yeah.
All right, well, we have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to catch up with you ladies about. First of all, you are lovers, and I think it's great. Second of all, what brings you in here together today? What's up with that?
Well, first of all, thank you on that.
And they go everywhere
Second
together.
All,
thanks for outing them.
And secondly, we are here because Tig is doing a show called Tig and Friends that I'm producing.
Sarah's the executive producer.
Yeah, but you. I mean, what is that really?
What
I
does
don't
that
know.
Mean? Yeah.
It means I make some calls, send some emails out, make sure everything's together for the thing.
Now you're the man.
And then if anything good happens.
Now you're the CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're ruling now.
You're really,
my boss.
Isn't it? It's just like when somebody's like, some little starlet is like, and I'm the producer.
Right. It's like that. Sure.
Except I'm not a starlet.
But Sarah,
39.
I have to say, she gets on the horn and she gets stuff done.
Does she? She gets
yeah.
on the horn?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
If
okay.
she didn't get on the horn, where would Tig and Friends be?
Same place. Same thing going on.
Same place, so same time, same cast.
So no difference?
No, no. No.
Would we be on Kevin and Bean right now?
No, you're right, you're right.
Well,
no,
I got true. This booking.
That's true. All right, for folks who haven't seen Tig and Friends at the Largo on La Cienega, this is not the first time you've done it, but this is going to be the best time I hear coming up on Tuesday, June 1st.
Oh, I thought you said, but this is going to be the last time you'll do it.
No.
Well, we don't
it's
know.
It's so funny. I don't even know how to describe it because it sounds pretty basic, but
it's not basic.
No?
No way.
Oh,
well, you describe
it
then, Tig.
All right, let's not.
What,
no,
what do you
I
think
hear
it's
Sarah
all about,
describe
Tig?
It first, and if she messes up, I swear.
We'll each take a turn. How much time do we have?
About a minute. Go.
Tig and Friends is Tig will interview the cast of a show, but before that, she'll bring each one out, and they'll do a little talent, you know, a little hidden talent, and we just did it with Parks and Rec, and it was very funny. And then she interviews them as a cast, but her questions are
ridiculous.
Really, really ridiculous. And almost unanswerable.
Right.
Awkward. And then she
awkward,
goes into
good.
The crowd, and there's a Q&A, which is like an earnest Q&A, but Tig is...
I Phil Donahue the place. I go out there, and I am very interactive.
The kids are going to totally get that.
That Phil Donahue reference?
No, that's a great reference, because he's been off the air for 20 years now.
Okay, so, I basically am like an old man that goes out into the audience and interacts with the audience.
With the audience.
Taking questions.
Okay.
With a liberal slant, and she's married to Marlo Thomas.
I don't know that is true.
So it's an interactive comedy experience. Huge fun, especially this Tuesday, if you are a fan of Party Down, and I know a lot of people love that cable show because you've got Adam Scott, Megan Mullally, Martin Starr from Party Down. They're going to be your victims up on stage.
And Ryan Hansen.
Ryan Hansen will be there too.
That's correct.
So they come out and they do wacky stuff with you, then you do wacky stuff with the whole group, and then the audience gets a chance to jump in and do wacky stuff on their own with these people.
That's correct.
Wow.
And then
that
I do
like
some
fun.
Wacky stand-up.
And by the way,
He said that a lot better than you did, Sarah. Just throw in wacky
It's
a
not
lot.
A competition.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm just
so
saying.
Anyway, it's really wacky. And it sounds like it could meander, but it's a tight show, you know?
I doubt that.
It's like an hour. It's like an hour, and it's... It's super fun.
Yeah, it's monthly sometimes every other month,
depending on the executive producer and
right
how many times she gets on the horn.
Where she's getting off to in her helicopter. Yeah.
What? How do you get a show to participate in this? Is that you, or how do you?
Well, I mean, for Party Down, I mean, I'm usually friends with somebody, or Sarah has reached out as the executive producer.
Sure.
She's reached out to other shows, and
she gets on the blower.
That's right. And
blower.
For Party Down, Megan Mullally is a friend of mine, and
Adam Scott's a friend of mine.
And it's not a competition.
Nice callback.
Thank you. You.
Let me just say this, though. There aren't a lot of let me rephrase that.
Taking
there aren't
friends.
A lot of reasons I can think of to want to live in Southern California. But if you love comedy, it's the best city in the world for that, because stuff like this happens all the time with yeah. one-of-a-kind get-togethers that you're not going to be able to see anywhere else, and it's not going to be on TV. And so often, you know, you people get together, and it's just hilarious stuff, and it's a great opportunity for people to come down to a small room and see a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see all you people together. I
so
support
you're
it. That's
back?
What I'm telling you. No, I'm not
Yay,
doing that.
He's coming
but
back.
I am saying, no, I am saying it is the type of thing that you have a real it's a great entertainment option for people who are listening to us in Los Angeles. That's
yeah,
all. Don't
yeah,
miss
if,
it.
If this show was going on in Denver, people's mm-hmm. minds would explode.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, no, it is true. And especially at Largo, like they always have like crazy, cool, weird stuff involving, you know, people you don't get to see live usually.
Yeah, and it's in the big theater room, which is 280 seats, and it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Tig and Friends is this Tuesday, June 1st, or is that this coming Tuesday, or is it a week from? I don't even
no,
have my calendar.
What's today?
Today's
the week.
Tuesday, yeah, it is a week
from
Tuesday.
So that means it's a week from today, then. A week yeah. from
See
today.
See you next Tuesday.
And we're going to be coming in here every day.
It's at the Largo, La Cienega Boulevard. Call 310-855-0350 to get tickets right now. We'll take a break. More with our friends Tig and Sarah after this on the Kevin. Comedian Tig Notaro in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Sarah yeah. Silverman also with her. You can see them both at yeah. Tig and Friends a week from tonight at Largo, La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles. It's going to be a great live show. By the way, Tig just mentioned during the song that she doesn't have the Twitter. Is that possible?
It is possible.
How are you in show business and you don't have the Twitter?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it not possible?
No, you're good.
It's not possible.
Don't worry about it.
Somehow I've been,
don't worry about it. You're good.
Show business didn't exist before Twitter.
I am on Twitter. Have you guys? Are you guys on it?
I didn't know
it?
You were.
Yes.
Louis C.K. Has been so funny the past few days, and he usually never writes anything.
Oh, I don't follow him. I have to check. All I know is that last night, Sarah, you threatened to murder your dog if more people didn't buy your book. And that was too vague for me to be comfortable with, because how many copies do you have to sell after a tweet like that before Fido gets it?
No, I don't. You know what? I just, like, I never... I hate doing that, but like the book company will be like, it'd be probably helpful if you tweeted something, you know, and then so then I'm just like, I just write something, you know. But
so you aren't really going to kill your dog. That's what you're saying.
I probably will eventually in right. the next two to 3 weeks, but that's just because he's, you know, angling towards 16 and
he's had a good life.
Yeah, I feel like he's had a good run. I just think it should just end, you know, like The Sopranos.
Brutally.
It's brutally dark. On your schedule, not on his. We haven't actually talked to Sarah since her book came out. I mentioned when you sat down that you are in the top 10. I think you're like number 6 or something
no.
like that, New York Times bestseller. Yes.
I was
you
number
knew that.
7, but I was number
Maybe
7.
It's 7.
I think it's true. I think it's dropped down to like 14.
Well, the last time I saw Oof. You were number 7, and I was very impressed with that because I know you, and I don't know any people who can do that. But Bedwetter, Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee is the book. I saw a lot of your promo tour for that. Did you ever make it on Oprah like you hoped?
No. I don't think she'd have me on, but
because
I
know
just
that was the goal.
Her.
She would never have you
on.
You did?
You just met her?
Yes!
Where?
I sat next to her at a restaurant.
No.
Her and Gail.
I'm so fat.
And
she ate a lot, yeah.
I it was like a dream. I'm just, I need to, because it's early.
Did you?
It definitely wasn't a dream. It okay. was like 2 days ago. And
am I your Gail?
Heart was, it, huh?
Am I your Gail?
You are my Gail.
Yes. That's so beautiful.
Okay, did you say, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you say anything to Oprah?
Our eyes met.
Right.
First of all, Gail came over and sat. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest.
All right.
Yeah, please tell us, because this is you don't hear very many Oprah sightings. This is fascinating to me.
I was with two other comics, Mark Cohen and Henry Phillips.
Okay.
They came over. I had nothing going on that day. They came over. We smoked a little hooch.
Sure, right.
Hooch?
I don't think you smoke hooch.
Is that liquid?
Yeah.
You smoked pot.
That's what a hobo drinks. Yeah. Hobo drinks hooch.
So you smoked some alcohol.
I took a puff of pot, which I never do in the day.
Right, ever.
But as a treat, it's been a long time. I had the whole day free. I go, yeah, all right. Then I go, oh, let's go to this fancy restaurant for lunch. But we look like homeless people.
What restaurant?
It's called, like, the Soho House.
Oh, yeah.
It's right by me. Yeah, right? So we go there. The guy sits us right next to Oprah and Gail.
Okay, so they're already in the restaurant when you guys walk in.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, okay. My God. And the guy who sat...
Are they holding hands?
No, they're with Sidney Poitier.
Really? Oh, my God.
Kind of a
Wait,
bizarre...
that's the biggest reaction.
I know. I wasn't
they didn't react that much about Oprah.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest. I only didn't mention it because I was, like, embarrassed to say... Poitier.
Yeah, because it's Poitier. A difficult word to do just right.
Yeah,
I understand.
You feel corny, like, sure, I don't know, but...
But it adds to the, it must have been a dream.
Way. That's his name.
It
right.
must have been a dream. I mean, it's it starting
like
to sound weird.
It was like
and a Viking.
I mean, really, Oprah is our... Yeah.
And they had a lizard on a leash. It was weird.
Oprah is our Sarah Silverman.
No, Oprah's like the queen of England. I mean, she's like the queen of here. You know what I mean? It felt
she's
so
yeah. sort of
like,
royalty.
No, she is.
She's the closest thing we have to royalty.
Even
absolutely.
To
she's the
Cohen?
Biggest she's the biggest celebrity in America. Okay, so you sit
me.
Next to her. Now, does she have any idea? Does she look over and recognize you, Sarah? She must, right?
What happened first was Gail came over for a couple minutes and said hi, and she was really cool and seemed like an everyday gal.
Right.
Was Oprah not there yet?
No, she was
she
there.
Was she was eating.
And she walked back, and then Oprah turned around and our eyes met and she got up and started walking towards me and then I got up and met her halfway because I felt like and then she just
was it in slow motion?
There were no words. She just embraced me.
Oh my.
She hugged me.
Really?
And like it felt so good in her arms like her like this side.
She was giving
shape,
you life?
Her like giant bosoms like smushed against me. It was so maternal. Like I felt like Mother Nature was holding me. And I
did you get
like,
lost in her folds?
And really, I let go. I just kind of was like dangling in her arms like a baby, like a baby in like one of those baby Bjorns. And she went, Sarah Silverman. I swear to God. And it was like on Saturday Night Live or something. And I go. I just didn't say anything, and then she let go, and I walked
Fell
back to my
ground.
Chair, and I said, I'll be over here if you need me, but she didn't.
So you didn't mention, like, I'd like to come on the show sometime?
I have a book out.
Wait,
help me a
lot. So she just,
that would be so cool.
She just sang your name in the restaurant, and then you just
That's how she
turned
says
around
all
and
names.
Walked away?
Yeah. You know what?
She gave you
Shoot.
Enough
you guys,
life
it was
force.
A dream.
It was a dream, wasn't it?
No, it was real. It was real. It really was real.
So you touched the hem of her garment, and then you went back and just sat down and just thought about it for the whole rest of the
well,
day.
Well, and
I
then,
guess.
Like, Cohen and Henry and I just looked at each other like, oh, my God, I'm so high.
We spoke too much.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
not...
I think eventually we're going to find out this whole thing was just
Are you
she was
sure
high.
Sure it wasn't just a fat black woman?
What?
Oh, I'm just saying,
my
are
God.
You sure? Because you were...
Yeah, I am sure. Yeah. I am sure.
It was really Oprah. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
It was really exciting.
Well, that's the best story I've heard all day. That's awesome. I love that.
Whoa. Have you ever heard the Three Bears?
That's a good story, too. I'm not going to take anything away from that.
Okay.
But we didn't hear it today.
All right.
Right.
So,
I
mean,
Tig and I were doing laundry at the washing machine. It's called the washing machine.
Oh.
We used to do laundry, do laundry together, mm-hmm. and I was putting...
My laundry.
Yeah, well, we were doing Tig's laundry. I was putting her stuff into the dryer, and it honestly, I looked at it, it was like the laundry of a tiny lumberjack. It was so cute.
If she didn't know she was there with me, she would have thought that there was a little tiny
a
lumberjack.
A tiny lumberjack. That's how you dress?
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, pretty casual, I
Why
suppose.
Does it take two of you to do one of your laundry?
Because I'm her Gail.
Do you think Oprah and Gail do laundry together?
I'm certain that Gail does her laundry at a laundromat.
At least in some sort of euphemistic
well,
way.
Well, and I have to say, I have a washing machine at my house now. Well, things have really changed.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't. Mine's in the hall.
Ooh.
Sarah's moving down. You're moving up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
all right.
Sarah was doing my laundry like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Well, I think we hitched our star to you, Tig, at just the right time. We're going to be saying goodbye to Sarah and stick with you now, I think, now that we see the direction your careers are going. So, all right. Well, listen, we're out of time. Tig and Friends is
not.
What? We are. We really are. It's 1 week from tonight at Largo on La Cienega in Los Angeles.
No, it's not tonight.
No, 1 week from tonight.
Will you two
I
stop
1 week
talking
from tonight.
So he can plug it?
Zip.
Please call this number, 310-855-0350, or do any kind of a Google search for any of the words in the preceding sentence, and you can buy tickets to see the show. Guys, thanks for coming in. We enjoyed having
you. Thanks for having us.
Just announced last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, our latest breakfast. We've been doing these for years. We get the biggest bands in the world in a tiny little space for you to ask questions and listen to them perform live. Next time up, it's going to be Linkin Park. Got a new record coming out on September the 14th. You'll have a chance to get up close and personal with Linkin Park. If you want to go, got details at kevinandbean.com. We'll have more tickets you can win every day this week right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's talk about do-it-yourself healthcare. That doesn't seem very smart.
No, not at all. People, not at all and not ever.
People try to take care of stuff themselves because most of the time they don't have money, they don't have insurance coverage or whatever. China was on TMZ.com, the wrestler, and China didn't go to the ER because she said it would have cost too much. So she played doctor on herself with a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, my God!
What was her problem? What did she need a knife for?
She had a swollen golf ball-sized lump that formed in her leg.
Ugh.
And she cut it out.
How did that happen?
I don't know. She thinks it's some kind of bug bite or something. Oh. But then
she should look out for radioactive spiders is what she should do.
She then doused the wound in hydrogen peroxide and neosporin, but now she says she's in so much pain she can barely walk.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, I am going to tell you, and I don't have any facts in front of me to back this up, but I would bet every month more people than the month before don't go to the emergency room because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
But because they don't have insurance or they can't afford the part that insurance doesn't cover. And if there's any way at all, there's some stuff you can't do yourself.
Right.
You can't set a broken bone, for instance. But if you've got something like a spider bite and, you know, she did the right thing. She cut out the part that hurt and, you know, used hydrogen peroxide and neosporin. That's about all you can do.
Right. But she didn't do the right thing because then it got worse and now she has to go to the doctor.
And now they're going to take her leg off.
I don't think that's true.
No.
I'm just saying I think these stories are incredibly common.
I agree. I mean, when I was in college, I did break my nose and I tried to set it.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, I'd had a few.
A couple.
And I was running upstairs and I had my hands in my pockets of my jacket and I couldn't get them out. And I smashed my face on a stair and it was crooked. So, and I'd seen them do it in movies. So I just grabbed it and tried to straighten it. And I fell to the ground. It hurt so much. But it worked enough that I didn't go to the doctor.
Did you fall to the ground with such force that you felt like you were throwing out the first pitch at a Dodgers game?
How dare you?
I like how Kevin uses cowboy anesthesia of like whiskey and beer, too.
No, we I was drunk before I fell. That's the problem.
No. And then we want to take your calls, by the way, if you've done medicine on yourself or in your household, if you have tried to be doctor to save money. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. My wife had a dog bite recently. Linus nicked her when they were out playing. And she thought about going to the hospital. It was clear that it needed stitches, but she had a neighbor come over who was a nurse and stitch it up in our kitchen instead.
Well, that's different if if at least she's trained.
Right. At least she's had some experience in the medical field.
Although I think most nurses would say, no, why don't you go to the doctor?
I definitely think this is really common amongst like swole dudes and like athletes. Because
swole dudes like China.
Exactly. You're constantly getting injuries, and a lot of them can seem minor, and you don't want
to. So you just like learn to not pay attention to them too much?
I took an abscess out of my buddy. I actually got a bunch of syringes. He didn't have health insurance, and he asked me to do it. He had a big, almost golf ball-sized swollen deal on his arm, kind of like China's leg, and we just sat there and just filled syringe after syringe with this.
And it worked?
I mean, he never saw any problems with it after that. It was disgusting.
So we're saying it's a good idea then? Is that the message we're putting out there?
I'm not.
I'm saying, depending on the injury, it may be fine. It may not be a bad choice. I think if you have the option to have a professional go ahead and look it over, that's best, though.
Sure. But don't you, if you go to an emergency room, don't they have to treat you?
They do, but they'll also bill you, and there's no way.
Oh, I see.
I mean, China, you know who China is.
Yeah. No way for her to get away.
Yeah.
And also, it can take, you know, depending on what else is going on in the emergency room, depending on where you live, it can take 6 hours to get seen, too. And sometimes you don't
want that. By the way, that is the low average by where I live.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you go to the emergency room, you know
that it's going to be a 5 to 10 hour wait.
You almost want to put your name on a list and then go home and sleep and come back.
So you have to factor that in. Is it bad enough that I want to go wait for 10 hours?
I've been so lucky because I've been 2 or 3 times in the last few years and I've had like an hour wait at the most.
Because you're hot. That's why.
Maybe
What was the video on Tosh.0 last week where they showed a guy and I think his wife was pulling a tooth
out his tooth with pliers. And she just slipped a couple times.
Grabbed a hold of it and just yanked it. Now, I don't recommend self-dentistry at all. And by the way, maybe that's
self-surgery is good though, right?
I'm just saying, if you take anything away from today's Kevin Beach Show, it's that we don't recommend self-dentistry, okay?
All right.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one real quick before the break. Which one you want?
Let's start with Shane.
Why not? Shane on line one joins us on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Shane, we're talking about physician, heal thyself, but you're not a physician. What'd you do?
Well, I broke my ankle a couple years ago, a couple years ago, I didn't have any insurance. So,
what were you doing? Were you playing sports?
No, I was working, and I was carrying a welder and a plasma cutter, and they both weigh, I don't know, good 60 pounds each. And I had a backpack on that weighed 30, so good. I had a lot of weight, and I slipped and just... all the weight went down on my ankle, and you hear this loud snap, and I hit the ground, and it just instantly the size of a grapefruit and black, and it was the most pain I've ever been in. And
yeah. Okay, why didn't you at that point go to the doctor?
I didn't have insurance.
But isn't it covered by workplace insurance?
Well, it's a family-run business, so we don't really have insurance. We're supposed to get our own, and I couldn't afford it at the time.
Okay, excellent. Right. So the first thing you thought is why the ankle got to be black, and then the second thing you thought is what am I going to do to alleviate this pain? So what did you do?
Well, I just as soon as I got home, I got my friends to bring as much alcohol over my house as possible. I got really, really drunk, and we went it and fed it. We just got a bunch of like sticks and those paint stirs.
You found sticks that you stir paint with, and you put them on either side of your ankle and taped it tight.
Yeah, duct taped it as tight as we can get it.
Right.
How about that? And how, did you have any kind of lingering problems as a result of that when that healed, or did it work out okay?
No, it didn't heal quite right. There's a big bump on the side of my ankle.
Really?
After about, I don't know, 8 months, it stopped hurting.
After eight months. But still, you occasionally tweak it, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, every once in a while, just anything out of the blue, it'll feel like it's ready to give.
Yeah. So would you say that was a good idea or a bad idea?
It's not the best idea. I can still walk.
That's as far as he'll go.
I can still walk is what he came away with, by the way. I can still walk.
It might be the second best idea.
All right, Shane, thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Self-surgery, we want to hear your stories up next here on the Kevin DeBeach. Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about frontier medicine, what they used to do in Little House on the Prairie days where it was too far to travel to find a doctor, so you had to learn how to stitch yourself up when you fell off the horse. Those are the topics on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Sometimes it's because you don't have the money. Sometimes it's because you don't have the time to go to a doctor. Here's an email from Bruce who says he had a friend who spent 26 hours, Kevin, waiting in the emergency room. He went with mumps. 26 hours with mumps in the emergency room. Wouldn't you think they would take him in just so everyone else in the emergency room didn't catch mumps?
Yeah, I would think so. But what they prioritize according to how bad it is. So you come in with a gunshot wound, you go right in ahead of the mumps.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, let's talk to Tony. He's on line 6. I think he has a story involving some duct tape, too. Duct tape, by the way, seems to be the number one thing that you use when you get hurt.
You can do anything with duct tape. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, guys.
What were you doing when you hurt yourself, and how did you hurt yourself?
Well, I was out at Glamis dirt biking, and we were jumping like a big 100-foot jump, and I crashed and whacked my shin really hard, and my ankle swelled up, so I, like, duct taped it the next day so I could still ride because we had a couple days to ride.
Right.
And it would swell, so I'd have to re-duct tape it every day.
Oh, ow, ow, ow.
Now, you didn't have, like, pre-wrap or anything. You just put the duct tape right on your skin.
Pretty much on the top of the ankle, yeah. I mean, on the sock, I duct taped it, but you know, after a while, it just kind of peeled the hair off, and I kind of got used to it.
Right now. Good times.
Okay, why didn't you go to the doctor? Just too far from where you were?
Well, no, I was just kind of young and stupid, and then I used to race a lot of motocross, and that weekend, I had a really big race on Saturday, and I was scared that what the doctor would tell me.
Which is not right, yeah.
So I duct taped it all week long, and so I could go to the race.
How'd you do in the race?
I got like a third.
All right.
Good for you.
Nicely done.
Yeah, it got so swollen in practice that I couldn't hang, so I went to the EMT just to have him check it out, and he said, dude, you broke your tibia.
Wow.
But good job with the duct tape.
Yeah, so I signed a waiver, and he really taped it up good for me, and I was able to race, and then I was in a cast for like a month after that.
Good for you. Right. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Let's try Morgan. He's on line three, joining us on the Kevin Mead Show. Morgan, self-surgery. What happened?
Yeah, I was cutting some roof shingles with a straight edge and a razor blade, and the razor blade slipped and cut my whole thumb off
through the
nail, and kind of just squeezed it together and went home and super glued it together, and then once that dried, wrapped it with some electrical tape, and it healed perfectly.
How about that? You put the tip of your thumb back on with super glue.
Well, it was like flat. It was still connected at the very bottom, so it was kind of just flapping off there, but you could see the bone and everything. It was basically cut all the way through, and yeah, I just used some super glue because I guess that's what they used to do in World War II. So
yeah, well, everything they did in World War II still holds up today.
So did you have a scar afterwards, or how's it look today?
There's like a little line that you can see, but other than that, it healed perfectly.
Anybody who says
that's what they used to do in World War II really. Is effed up somehow. That's not how you should judge things.
Let's try Dylan, line four. He's got a prison surgery story. Hi, Dylan. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What happened, man?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What happened?
I was in prison, and I ended up in the California fire camp program.
Right.
And if you got sick, you had to go back to the actual main prison yard to get any kind of medical.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I ended up with a terrible case of tonsillitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get rid of it, and they swole up, and they got covered with pus. And to alleviate it, I had to take a razor blade and lance both of my tonsils.
No.
You can't do that.
Was it Elisa?
Yeah. No. Wait, you can't. You reached into the back of your throat with a razor blade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even.
Did you put duct tape on afterwards?
No, there was no duct tape. Okay.
Can you use super glue?
I wouldn't know where the tonsils are.
You couldn't see. Once you had your hand in there, you couldn't even see what you were doing.
Well, I had a mirror, obviously.
Obviously. Lisa, come on, try to keep up.
You know, this is insane.
Lisa May, if you need help reaching the back of your throat.
Okay, that's fine, G. That's fine. Thank you for the call.
Okay, what about the bizarre thing I've ever heard?
What about the guy, and I know he didn't have a choice because there was no doctor available, the guy who had to chop his own arm off when he was stuck in that mountain climbing thing. They're making the movie. The movie's coming out here. I mean, I understand a situation. You can go to that guy and go, hey, why'd you decide to do self-surgery? Well, I had no other choice. I was going to die otherwise. I was out in the woods by myself for 3 days. But if you're in prison, doesn't it seem like there's a doctor that you can go see, somebody who will do that for you?
Yeah, but he didn't want to go back.
He didn't want to go back. He was out doing firework or
whatever.
Maybe
he thought he wouldn't be able to.
Let's
go
talk
back
to Christina. Most of these people have been guys. Hard to believe. Christina, hi.
Hi.
What happened to you? Where and how?
I was at a Bad Religion concert
mm-hmm.
in 2008, and I made the mistake of dwelling near the mosh pit.
Sure.
And I got pummeled by what was probably the rendition of my childhood boogeyman. He was huge. He was like a football player, and I'm short, and he totally pummeled me, and I flew like 6 feet, and I dislocated my elbow.
Dislocated your elbow?
Yeah, it was like dangling. It hurt so incredibly bad.
But you didn't want to leave Bad Religion.
I didn't want to leave Bad Religion, and I didn't have health insurance anyway. So with the help of a couple guys that were just like by the bar, they popped my elbow back into place.
Oh my God.
And needless to say, it hurt really, really bad.
Right.
But I didn't want to leave the show. And by the end of the show, like I kind of forgot about it. And
you were drinking.
Just a little.
Yeah. That's the only way to forget about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but like by the time I got to the car, I was the one who was driving.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I hope it was a stick shift.
Huh?
I hope it was a stick shift.
No. But I saw my elbow then, and it had swollen, and it was probably softball grapefruit size. It was huge. And so we had to splint it, and we had to go through my car, and really all we found were beer bottles. So we had to splint it with my fishnet stockings and with beer bottles.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Right. Wow.
It's not a party till you end up with beer bottles and fishnet stockings wrapped around your dislocated shoulder.
You're the winner, Christina. Thank you. First, it's time for 911 is a joke. To get up, get down. 911 is joking, yo.
we do this feature from time to time because we're, first of all, it's awesome that all 911 calls are recorded because there's a lot of comedy that comes out of that. Second of all, the patience you have to be a 911 operator boggles my mind. The professionalism under unbelievably intense circumstances sometimes boggles my mind, but particularly the patience when people are calling without emergencies.
The first guy that's calling, though, does have an emergency. I believe he has stolen a car and it's run out of gas on a train track.
And he called 911.
And he called 911. I don't know what he expected her to do, if she could call the train and get it to stop, but you hear him talking to the 911 operator, and then you hear the train demolish the car.
He has time to call 911, but not just get out of the car?
That was her.
Yeah, it's not his car, for God's sakes. What does he care?
That's what she said. That was, listen.
Okay. Grayson County 911.
There's a train coming. I'm gonna get killed.
There's a train coming. I'm going to get killed.
What did you do?
He doesn't sound drunk.
He's me.
Are you in the car on the train track? Get out of the car.
Okay. I'm getting out. Please. Yep. It's done.
Yeah, it's done.
Yep. Why didn't he think of that on his own?
I don't know.
He may not have been completely sober.
Call 911. Sir, get out of the car. Okay. All right. I'm doing that now. And then, boom.
Good thing he called.
And then he goes, yep. So that's the first 911 as a joke. This person just needed a little information. And who do you call?
911 emergency.
Yes, I'd like to know the day and date today.
I'm sorry, you what?
The day and date today.
You just want to know what the day is?
Yeah.
Well, today's Saturday.
And it's the
23rd? 23rd.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Just wanted a day and date.
You're so nice.
What happened to, it's against the law to abuse 911?
I don't know. To get up or get down, 911 is joking, yo, down. Sorry, it's the 25th? No, 23rd. Okay, thanks a lot. This is a very drunk woman who's having trouble getting hold of a dating line because they don't want to talk to her anymore.
Oh, man.
So what does she do? She calls 911.
Norwood 911, did you have an emergency? I'm having a hard time getting, you know, a hold of a date line and stuff. Everybody wants to screw me around. My name's Barnett, please.
Okay, if it's a date line, it's not 911.
Well, they don't want to talk to me no more.
They don't want to talk to me no more.
She was just looking for any number she could call where somebody would answer and have to talk to her, I
Correct.
Guess.
Correct. Middle-aged woman in love with the cop who showed up at her house, wants him to come back.
But I have an emergency. Two police officers just left my house just now. Could I get their names, please? Did you throw them back my way?
Do you need them to come back there?
Oh, I'd like that, yeah.
Why do you need them to come back there?
Because I have an emergency. I'll think of something. Honey, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay?
I'll think of something.
Okay. I just thought it was cute. I'm 45 years old, and I'd like to meet him again. But I don't know how to go about doing that without calling 911. I know this is not absolutely in a way, shape, or form an emergency.
Well, she got what she wanted because the same cops went back and they arrested her.
Ah, yes.
I love that.
And finally, a very drunk person who is looking for a ride to the liquor store.
Uh-oh.
And says that the sheriff promised that he would drive her there.
This is 911.
I'm sorry.
I need a ride. You need a ride?
Yes, to the liquor store.
No, maybe he's
I
had enough.
I love him.
How did he die off?
Maybe he's had enough alcohol.
No.
Sure says she gave me a ride.
Okay, you're going to have to call somebody else, sir.
All right, now here's where he says the sheriff told me to give me a ride. Listen to her answer.
You called 911. We can't come give you a ride.
Even the sheriff says she give me a ride now.
The sheriff said they give you a ride to the liquor store?
That's correct.
Wrong.
Yep.
Wrong. To get up or get down, 911 is joking, yo.